feet all day long. Grant's always there to say when he's wrong. They've got the feud that just won't quit, and Melissa's the one who has to deal with their sh**. Now the LSD, they don't do it for free. While you're living your life, they're watching TV. Now the LSD, they do it for you. Watching, and soon you'll be watching them too.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother 21 Roundtable Podcast. It's our first week of the season. This is the podcast where we break down everything from the feeds. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Melissa. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm good. As you can see, I'm not in my normal location because I moved this weekend. So this weekend was not a great weekend to have the first weekend of feeds because I kept trying to check the updates, see what was going on, but it wasn't able to fully devote all my time and energy on Saturday to it. And so I was very disappointed, but I've been catching up and doing everything. And I'm very excited to talk about this because, you know, it's been an interesting start. That's for sure.
Interesting is a good word for it. Also yeah. Joining us tonight is, of course, Brent. How you doing, Brent?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for asking. I have recovered from our morning update today. If you haven't seen that, it was one of my all-timers, ladies and gentlemen. thanks to Taryn.
Some screenshots have been going or circulating around.
Yeah, I was like, there are a lot of screenshots.
There's already memes on Reddit. There's already an emoticon on the Discord that I have for my Twitch channel.
I love it. That's great. Also, Melissa, I love your new setup. All of the natural light coming in makes you look so warm and fun. And I love it. It's great.
Well, thank you. This is probably not going to be my permanent home for the podcast, but I don't know where I'm going to go. We still have boxes everywhere. So I've kind of just tacked my microphone onto a random table. And yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we'll, you know, it's in the podcasting world, having natural light, it's no good. It makes you look too much like a real person. It makes you look too good. You need to look like pasty with the gross light on you. That's the way to do it.
Man, I need to get that sort of set up.
Yeah. We are live on YouTube, and you can join us in the chat room if you want to chat along with us here tonight. But we will be talking, as I said, about everything going on the Big Brother 21 live feeds. And to start us off here, we're going to give you the story of what happened this week on the live feeds. There's been a lot. There's a lot to catch you up on. And if you haven't been listening to the morning updates, then you're probably very behind or confused or something. And if you have been listening to the morning updates, you might be so full of information that you've lost sight of the overall narrative. And that's why we're here tonight, to tell you what's been happening. So obviously we started the game with everybody coming into the house. We saw this on the episodes. We saw Jackson, Cliff, Jessica, and David all campaign to be camp director. Jackson won that campaign, and he decided to banish Cliff, Jessica, David, and Kemi. David did not return from his banishment, but Julie did tell us that David is only gone for now, and that on Wednesday we will be seeing something new that we've never seen before, and it will involve David because he's not quite done with the house yet. Any ideas on what this means, Melissa?
No. I mean, I feel like we all thought like maybe it had something to do with the activity competition, or at least there was some speculation that that was what was going on. But that activity came and went, and we haven't seen any mention of David or anything like that. I mean, maybe it's one of the later week activities, but I feel so stupid saying activity a bunch of times. But maybe it's one of those things, or maybe it is just like a battle back sort of thing. And they really were just saying like, you will hear from him eventually, but we don't know when or what. I don't know, but I have no idea. I'm thinking it's a battle back at this point.
I think it's a battle back at this point too. And I think it's just one that goes like week by week, where like on Wednesday, we're going to get a David versus Ovi kind of thing. And I'm totally cool with that if that's what happens, because I think that's the way they should have done it the first time around in 18, when they had a version that was similar to what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. Where they basically just like had all of the battle backs happen, but they did them all in one taped thing all in one night. And then Victor came back into the house. So
yes.
He came back and then he got evicted. Then he came back. So yeah, there you go.
Okay. So yes, I release a form every week for the roundtable in preparation for the roundtable. You can find that on my Twitter at Armstrong Taren. And one of the questions that I asked in the survey for this week was, what are your theories on the David thing? What's happening here? And the most popular answer was something along the lines of, it's a battle back. It's a week by week battle back. It's Redemption Island style battle back. In fact, I looked at the word cloud and Redemption Island style was like one of the most mentioned phrases. So that seems to be a very popular response, a very popular theory in terms of what's happening here, that essentially that on Wednesday, Ovi, as we'll talk about, Ovi is looking to be potentially evicted. And if he is evicted, then David will show up and compete against Ovi, and the winner of that competition will either come back into the house or stay banished and continue and then fight the next person until eventually they get a shot to come back in or something along those lines. That's not exactly something we haven't seen before. That's like they like tweaked one small aspect of it, but also I don't really feel like they're always super upfront about Battle of the Block is a fan favorite twist, and this one you'll never have seen before. They tend to exaggerate.
They always say that sort of thing, like, "Oh, this has never even seen before," and it's like we definitely have seen something like this before. Like, just because this one little thing has been changed doesn't mean we haven't seen something almost exactly like it. And I will say though that like if it is going to be a battle back, I much prefer it to be a battle back where it goes week by week, like Brent was saying, rather than just like that all at once battle back, because also I want the people who lose each week to be able to leave and go home and not stay in a hotel for like 6 weeks. So, you know, I think that they really should just do like a week by week sort of thing, because yeah, it's just so mean. It's cruel.
Yes. I mean, coming from the team that told us that the Battle of the Block was a fan favorite twist, they decided to, if this is true, borrow a fan favorite twist from Survivor, because we know, as we all know, Redemption Island is the most praised twist in Survivor lore.
People love it.
So it's actually it's you know, I say that, but honestly, they've gotten pretty bad lately. So I feel like some people might look back at Redemption Island and be like, man, remember when that was the worst thing Survivor had done?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
We're not as bad as Survivor right now. So an alliance is going to form in the house after David leaves between Jackson, Jack, Christy, Bella, Nick, Tommy, Holly, and Sis. It's an 8-person alliance. They call it the Hateful Eight. They call it Grateful. They should have called it the Hateful Eight. They call it Grateful with an 8 in the middle. We saw this in the episode last night. Christy is going to end up winning the HOH, and she is obviously part of this alliance, so she's going to be looking for targets outside of the alliance. Kat had been acting sketchy. She's running around saying, "Are you conspiring against me?" She's dropping people's names. She's being paranoid. She's Christy's target. Cliff is an easy pawn to put up, and so the two of them are nominated. However, in the time between the nominations and the feeds coming up, either an incident in particular happened, or just the general sort of vibe of the house turned against Kemi, because Kemi was talking about Jack and Jackson as targets, and we believe that Bella in particular is somebody that really sold her out. And so Christy decided that she is going to backdoor Kemi. That is the plan. So that's where we go from there. Then Sam is going to win the veto. Everything's fine. He's going to use it on Cliff. Kemi is going to be backdoored. I mean, I don't think anything could go wrong here, Melissa.
Yeah, of course. No, nothing could go wrong. I mean, that's exactly how it all played out, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So what, what's going to happen here? And I sort of laid this out on Twitter a little bit, is that the timeline, I believe, starts with Jack and Jackson were the original bromance. Mm-hmm. And then you had Christy and you had Kat, and Jackson, as we found out on the feeds, kind of hooked up with Kat before the feeds came on, had a little bit of a thing. Yeah. And he confided that he hooked up with Kat to Jackson. He told Jackson, don't tell anyone. Jackson kind of had a thing for Christy, who, as she will describe, not into guys. Sorry, Jack.
Yeah.
I keep getting Jack and Jackson mixed up. Jackson confided in Jack.
Jack, yes.
Yeah. And Jack had a thing for Christy, who's Jack not into guys.
There we go, yes.
And Jack decided...
Like, wow, they both did? I thought that it was... I didn't know it involved both of them.
I also keep mixing up Bella and Holly. It's terrible. So Jack decided to tell Christy about Jackson's thing with Kat. When Jackson found out about that, he felt hurt. He felt like his bromance was not real. He felt like that it was more Jack and Christy, and he felt jealous about that, and he wasn't a fan. Holly fanned those flames, because Holly is a little bit anti-Jack as well, and Holly is very close to Jackson. So Jackson had a conversation with Christy where he talked about, like, hey, I don't want to be linked up with Kat. That's not what I'm about. And, you know, I'm sure you feel the same way about Jack, no? You don't want people thinking about you and Jack as a pair. And she was like, well, no. Why would people, do people think that? And that really got in her head. Christy, as we'll find out, is almost as paranoid as Kat. She's just like in control right now. I feel like the Christy HOH is similar to what we'd get in a Kat HOH, only maybe even worse. So Jackson told Christy about that whole thing, and Christy starts freaking out. I don't know. I'm not linked up with Jack. No. We're not a duo. He doesn't tell me what to do. Just because he wants Kemi out doesn't mean that that's what I'm doing. And so she starts to doubt the plan to put up Kemi in the first place. But Jack does manage to get her back on board. He says, no, Kemi has to go. And so she's okay. But it's in her head. She doesn't want to do it. And then the next day she starts thinking again. It's like, what? No, Jack is in my head. He convinced me again. He's so good at this game. He can't be better at this game than me, Melissa. He can't.
Yeah. No, he can't.
She starts trash talking Jack left and right. She says, Jack does not make my decisions for me. I make my decisions for me. And so she's really starting to doubt the idea to backdoor Kemi. To add on top of this, Bella and Nick are starting to consider the idea of keeping Kemi around for reasons of their own. And this further freaks Christy out. Well, if they're not on board, if they're going to flip the vote to keep Kemi, then I'm making a mistake and I don't have my alliance on board. And so then Nick and Bella got in trouble and this is a whole mess. And I'm doing my best to give you the through line here, but it's very complicated and I want you to understand the dynamics of how this happened. So Christy eventually, after talking to multiple people and multiple people telling her, make your own decision, talks with Tommy and Nicole. Nicole tells her, look, Kemi loves you. She goes, you know what? She does love me and I love her and I'm not going to do it. Not going to backdoor Kemi. Okay, fine. Finally. Oh, we finally settled it. She's not going to backdoor Kemi. Back to the original plan. Kat's going home. Whew. What a recap. So she goes to tell Sam, let's not use the veto. Problem is, Sam wants to use the veto. Nah. I told Cliff about using the veto. No, I don't like that. And so he's starting to suggest other plans. Well, why don't we backdoor Jack? Wouldn't that be great? You hate Jack. Nah, she doesn't want to make a big move. What about Ovi? Can we nominate Ovi? Can you get rid of Ovi? And Christy goes, the heavens have parted and she's understood finally the move she needs to make. And it's to backdoor Ovi, Brent.
It's so convoluted how we got to this point. It's really frustrating. If you're somebody who is trying to evaluate Ovi in the context of his game, it is sort of boggling to see how close you were to having made it out of this week alive with a house in chaos, a power in your back pocket, and a glide path for the next 6 weeks. Instead, it's looking entirely likely, based on Sam opening up his mouth, that Ovi might actually be out of the house on Thursday. And that is incredibly disappointing, but it just goes to show you how, you know, things that happen like this in Big Brother. I always go back to something like Big Brother 14, where, you know, they had the coaches competition. And if Mike Boogie doesn't win the coaches competition, then Ian isn't immune that first week. And if he's not immune, he might go home that first week. We don't know that, but it looked entirely likely he was in trouble. And that's happened to Josh in Big Brother 19. If that apple wasn't there, does he win that season? I'm sure he gets nominated by Cody. So many times people, if they can just make it past one week, they can really get a foothold in the game. I firmly believe, not to jump ahead, but that Cliff has a glide path to the final three at this point. I do not see him going anywhere at all now that he has got the veto around his neck and he is fine. Ovi, on the other hand, we're in trouble. And the problem, as I see it, is that he doesn't know he's in trouble. And that's the worst part of this, Taryn, that he doesn't know he's in trouble. He thinks he's fine. And if he thinks he's fine, he's not going to do anything about it. And I think there are ways that he could possibly get out of this, because I feel like there are many people in the house that already want to keep him. And there are other people who should want to keep him for the benefit of their own gain. Keeping Kat is a monstrous mistake for people like Sam. But this is where they're at. So yeah, we'll see.
I mean, if you had told me like night one that Ovi was going to be probably going home this week or likely going home this week, I would have been like, no way. I loved him preseason. Not that I don't love him now, but it's more that I'm shocked that he just hasn't connected with anyone in the house really. And that he's seen as such, you know, a pariah in the house. I don't get it. I don't understand it. He seems so charming and nice and sweet. And so, I mean, maybe there was something pre-feeds, but I don't know. It just seems so odd. And I do think that he still has a chance to stay. I don't think he's dead in the water at all, because everything, it could change in just a second. I mean, you guys have mentioned it before in the morning updates, but if Kat were to at all insinuate to anyone that there's some sort of girls alliance brewing, I could absolutely see all the guys being like, whoa, 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 whoa. If there's some sort of girls alliance, why are we taking out a guy? Even if it is Ovi. And because especially because Ovi is going to all the guys, or at least Jack, and is saying, I'm with you. I'll do whatever you want. Like, you're my buddy. You know, like, I've got you. I want you to win this. And I feel like he said that to multiple people at this point, multiple guys. So I can see a situation where it all flips in second. But as of right now, it's kind of sad to see.
Yes. And I think it's important to understand Christy's mindset going into this HOH was that she just wanted to do what the house wanted and to not make any big moves and to just just get through, like, sort of what we always say the first HOH should do, which is just kind of go along with the general consensus. Don't make huge waves. Just cement yourself, get yourself placed in a big alliance, and everything will be fine. She wanted to do that, but she really just got in her own head. So she felt like, oh, Kat is a perfect consensus target. But then Jack started convincing people Kemi should be a target. And so she, okay, fine. We'll do Kemi. Kemi's the consensus target. But then she started freaking out about being paired up with Jack. And she was worried that this is not going to be seen as a house move. It's going to be seen as a power couple move. And so she tried to distance herself from it. And so then she had a bunch of people telling her, do what you want to do. And she didn't want people telling her to do what she wanted to do. She wanted people to be like, no, do what the house wants to do. And she wanted to know what the house wanted to do. And so that's why the Ovi suggestion.
That's insanity, though, because, I mean, I agree with your take, but she wasn't listening because the house was telling her what they wanted. They wanted Jack out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the majority of people said to her or insinuated in one way or another was, wow, well, I'd love to get rid of Jack. He's such an ass. Like, he's so full of himself. He's the villain of the season. He doesn't have releases from anybody. Like, well, obviously, he is meant to be the villain for us. Why aren't we getting rid of him? But she wouldn't do it. It was just boggling to me why she wouldn't get rid of Jack. She said, maybe it's because it's too big of a move, but if everybody supports it, is it really that big of a move? I don't think so. I think they would have gotten rid of him in a heartbeat.
I do think it's like the riskier move.
Yes.
Like, I feel like if it doesn't work out and Jack stays, I feel like that's way riskier for her than if maybe like Ovi, she tries to get rid of him and it doesn't work out and Ovi stays, like, oh, well, who cares? But if Jack stays, I feel like he could really like wreak havoc. And I think that, I mean, I see where she was coming from initially, because it's like, yeah, the first week you want consensus. You want an easy move. You don't want to be the person who's out there being like, this is what I want. This is my move. Because, you know, if someone was telling, if all the people I was talking to was saying like, do what your heart wants, maybe later on in the season, I'd be like, cool, I'll do what I want. But in the beginning, the first week, you want it to be a group decision. You want, okay, everybody wants this, so this is what I'm doing, because it's just the first week. Like, you just get out someone random and then, you know, continue on. But I, you know, it turned out not so great, not so great. And I don't think that Christy comes off so great by the end of this week. So I think that there's some problems here.
Yes. And the reason why Ovi was such a compelling option for her was because Ovi has been on the outs, as you've seen in the episodes, and nobody really cares much for Ovi, but also nobody in particular was pushing for Ovi to go home. He's the perfect, most neutral person that like nobody's defending him and nobody's targeting him. So it's, she's not doing anybody's dirty work and she's not pissing anybody off. That's how she sees it. Obviously, in my opinion, the easiest and the way that she should have gone about this was just stick to her initial nominations. Don't have a backdoor plan and just take out Kat. It weakens Jackson. It takes out somebody that nobody in particular is sticking up for. And it's easy and everyone agrees and everything's fine, but she really got in her own head and
she really
freaked
did.
Out.
I mean, the other thing too is I totally thought she misplayed that conversation with Sam, where Sam was like, yeah, but I really want to use the veto. Like, she's the HOH. All she has to do is say, look, I don't feel comfortable naming another nominee. Do not use the veto. I don't care what you want. I don't want to name another nominee. Kat needs to go home or let the house decide. Whatever you want. But all she had to do was put her foot down. She is totally disappointing me. Christy, I'm talking about. Through a week and a half of feeds.
I feel like there are a lot of people that are disappointed.
Of course there are, but she's like somebody who I had a little bit more faith in, especially with Tommy guiding her. But I mean, she can't really be guided by Tommy. And I think more than anything, he's trying to get off the USS Titanic by making sure he's not anywhere close to her chaos.
Yeah, Tommy right now with in regards to Christy, it's like when you are trying to steer something, but it's super, super sensitive to steering. So you're just like just trying to like not touch it, because if you touch it, it'll like spin out of control. And then every once in a while, you just need to kind of be like, just kind of nudge it over just a little bit so it doesn't go crazy and hope that it still continues to guide down. That's what he's doing. He's like mostly hands off and then occasionally giving like a tiny little push here, because he knows if he pushes too hard, the whole thing will crash. And he's doing his best.
Yeah.
So, of course, Sam is going to use the veto on Cliff. Ovi is going to be replaced on the block, and he is going to be very shocked, very sad. He did win this whacktacular power, but it is not going to help him and will likely go out of the house with him. And the house is pretending right now that they're going to keep him around, but in actuality, they are all voting for him to leave. Just a little bit earlier today, Cliff finally found out that the votes are not there for Ovi. And so he is looking for, like, when am I allowed to tell him? Because I promised him I would tell him. It'll probably not be in time to save him, unfortunately. So right now, the vote count looks like it's going to be unanimous against Ovi. One final thing that's happening in the house here, recent development, is there are four women, Jessica, Kemi, Bella, and Nicole, who have formed an all-women's alliance called the Black Widows, as we discussed this morning. Please, you gotta do better than that with the name. I mean, like, there have been plenty of bad names, but at least a bad name is like fun. This is just like, we've seen this before. Come on, guys.
I really wish they would tell them. What'd you say, Melissa?
I still like it. I don't know.
I liked it the first time as well.
I know, but I want it to be successful. Like, I feel like
if it is successful, then it's like, yeah, remember the Black Widows? Which one?
True. I don't know. I guess they could have been. They need to do their research, I guess. But, you know, I like the idea of it.
Yeah. So that's basically where we are here. So let's talk about the state of the house, because this is very important. Rob in the chat says it's a reboot, Taryn. It's full of reboots. All right. So the main power structure in the house is obviously Grateful with an 8. It's grateful. I mentioned them before. Tommy, Christy, Nick, Bella, Jack, Jackson, Holly, and Sis. They consist, they are the people that, that make up this alliance. They are the main power structure in the house. However, they have a lot of different sort of subgroups happening. A lot of like individual relationships. There are like three or four different like sub alliances, but none of them are that genuine to me. So there's the six shooters, which are the eight minus Nick and Bella, but they're not really loyal to that. None of, right. Well, some of them might be, but none of them really are.
None of them are.
There's a final three between Jack, Tommy, and Christy that occasionally gets talked about, but again, who knows how actually loyal they are to that. There's stage five, which includes Sam and Nick and Jack, that is occasionally talked about. But again, like Nick and Jack are basically targeting each other right now, so not super genuine either. So I don't think you really need to pay attention to any of the names of these sub-alliances outside of Grateful in particular. If they still exist come next week in the roundtable, we'll maybe dig into them a little more. But I think what's more important are the individual relationships that people have within this big group of people. The main one, of course, being Tommy and Christy. Who know each other outside of the game and are very, very tight and have their fingers in most pies here. There's also Tommy and Nick who have a pretty tight relationship that they don't talk very often, but when they do, they're pretty open with each other and they seem to have some kind of final two and they're keeping it very, very under wraps. So that's a very promising relationship as well. How do you feel about the Nick and Tommy thing, Melissa?
I don't know. I think it's good. I like the idea of having sub alliances within a giant alliance, just because, you know, the giant alliance never lasts, or at least I hope it doesn't last. It hasn't in the past. And I'm really hopeful that this one does not last. But I think that it's super important to have these silent partnerships within the alliance, because that's so much easier to keep secret than like these sort of like, okay, it's eight, then it's a six, then it's five, like all these like larger alliances within the alliance. I like the idea of having just like two people. I mean, look at level six last year. You have Casey and Tyler, and the whole time they were like, what, C2C or whatever? And
coast to coast.
Yeah, they kept C2C. It's like, I don't know, I was close. But you know, it could also be like C, like the letter. But I basically got it. But anyway, they were able to keep their alliance secret the whole time. And I mean, look how it paid off. So, you know, I'm a fan of the secret alliances as long as they can remain secret. But
yeah, you know, and again, the Tommy and Nick thing in particular, they don't get together all that often. So who knows if this will actually, you know, continue to blossom. But it does seem like a particularly deadly combination right now because they are two of the more connected people in the house. There's also Nick and Bella. Nick and Bella are very close. They kind of a little bit have a showmance going on, but not really, because what Nick says is that Bella was living with somebody prior to going on Big Brother. She still has her stuff there, and she did not tell the person she was living with that she was leaving. So they're not allowed to do anything on camera, but they have done some things, to which I tell Nick, like, okay, well, you just said all of it. So
right?
It's totally ruined now.
What?
People are so dumb. It's like Jackson with his, well, I don't want to vote out Catherine because that would look so terrible. Meanwhile, you know, 5 hours later on the feeds, I'm telling everybody that I was like totally like doing the guy thing and having sex in the Big Brother house. Who can say that, man? That's totally gnarly. But I would never want to say I want to vote her out. I mean, like, those are two exactly the same things. People would look at them the same way. I don't understand these people and their thought process.
Yeah. Rob says, is he dumb or really smart?
That's the same question I was asking myself, Rob.
He is a therapist. I grant him that. Earlier today, he was talking to Sis about anxiety and methods of dealing with anxiety. And I was like, oh, this is very therapist-y.
He's
going to give himself away a little bit.
Yeah, I heard that as well. I will say that of all the people in the house, and I thought it was going to be Jack or Jackson, but Nick is the guy more than anybody who's thinking with the wrong head. He is such a horn dog. And I really feel like it's hindering his game to the point or I don't view him as seriously as I probably should, because I don't think he's necessarily in there, at least currently, for the right reasons. But then again, it's early in the season, so we'll see.
Yeah, so he and Bella are very close. They have a tight bond within this group of eight. In fact, they are, as I mentioned, excluded from one of the side groups, the six shooters. So they are seen as a very tight pair. And some people, Christy in particular, say that Nick is blinded by, you know, female anatomy. And that's her read on Nick. She also thinks he's a professional poker player, though. So,
oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Not totally on point, but yeah.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So there's also Jack and Jackson. They were a little bit torn apart by the Jack and Christy relationship, but after Christy went anti-Jack, Jack went back to Jackson, and now the Jacks are back together. Everyone's pleased.
Oh, we're so happy. Yay, yay. You know what? I have to say that Jackson doesn't annoy me as much as Jack does. Jackson is just kind of a lovable dork. I'm trying to remember if he said anything really problematic, so please don't come for me if he has. With this cast, it's really hard to keep up.
Oh my God, seriously, it's insane. I've never seen a cast be this problematic immediately after Feeds come on. I just feel like normally at least we have like maybe one week where we still like kind of like some of the people in the house, like, you know, are pretty neutral on most of the people. But this is like the fastest it's ever devolved into like, oh, I hate most of these people. And like, I'm very surprised because I feel like even for Big Brother 19, which like I absolutely beyond hated more than anything like ever, I still liked most of the people for at least the first week. And now I feel like I just get so frustrated every time I hear about stuff that's going on in the house and the way that certain people are being treated. And it's not cool. It's like totally not cool. And I just feel like, I mean, I'm shocked at the way that people are so oblivious and stupid and they don't care about like how they look and how they're coming off to everybody else. Like, I mean, okay, if you don't feel in your heart that this is wrong, at least know that everyone else is going to be judging you and seeing this. Like,
yeah.
First of all, I would be like, I would never do any of this stuff that's been going on in the house. But if I were to be that sort of person, I would at least want the world to think I wasn't like that. I mean, I don't know how stupid these people are.
No, that's a really good point, Melissa, because I mean, if you're not naturally a good person, at least try to fake it and fool us so that capitalistically you at least profit from it. And you know, people are into you, but these people, they don't even care about that.
You can keep it under wraps for at least a week.
Here's the thing. I think that they truly believe themselves to be good people. Jackson, he said preseason, like, hey, I know I look like a frat boy, but I've really got a good heart to me. And Jack has said on the feeds, like, hey, I'm all about spreading positivity and love. I don't like to be negative and spread animosity.
That is just so frustrating.
Yeah. They are very unaware of how they're coming off, and they really feel like no, hey, I know I appear to be like a douchebag, but I'm actually a great person.
How can you say something like normally in real life? Jack said normally in real life, girls who look like Nicole don't get to talk to guys like me.
That is
fuck off, man.
That is the most insulting thing. I would never want to even talk to you. So, like, I mean, it's like, how dare you? All these things, like all the stuff. I mean, the comments to about Ovi behind his back, even the girls are commenting about Ovi. I mean, you've got Annalise or whatever, sis or whatever, being like saying that she would be fine with it if it was an attractive person. Like, that is the most disgusting thing. And it makes somebody so unbelievably unattractive that for them to say something like that. I mean, we also Jack going into the house, everyone was like, oh boy, look at this guy. Oh man, he's so hot. Look at Aquaman, whatever. I don't think anybody feels that way anymore. Like, he is so unattractive to me right now because, like, that, really, I mean, not that like matters, but like, you know, who cares if I am attracted to him or not? But I'm just saying that, like, if someone has such a gross, dirty, bad, black heart, that changes everything. You cannot find a person like that attractive. It's honest. I'm so upset with upset.
There's so many problematic things that people in this cast have said. The Annalise comment about, she was talking about Ovi and how he touches her in a way that she didn't think was okay. And then she later related that, you know, well, you can't do stuff like that, you know, at least unless you're hot. Then
right, that's the thing. Yeah. Is if she had said, look, Ovi's been touching me in a way that I feel is inappropriate and I feel uncomfortable, end of story, I would have been like, oh my, yes, thank you for saying something like, you know, Ovi's in the wrong here. He should not be touching her that way if she's uncomfortable. But the fact that she was like, well, if he was hot, I would be cool with it. That, it just shows that it's not about her feeling uncomfortable because she feels like she's violated and she feels like this is her space, whatever. It's just because she doesn't like think he's attractive or something. It's awful. It's awful. And it, you know, I will say that, like, I don't want to get fully into this, but I just do want to.
Let's get into it. Because I want to get into it real quickly.
But I just want to say that, like, in the beginning, David was targeted, right? And then Kimmy was targeted. And I was like, everyone was like, this is a race thing. This is a race thing. This is for sure race. Everyone's racist, you know, all that sort of. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, like, maybe, but let's like step back for a second and like look at the full picture. Like, do we really think that it's this, or is it possibly that somehow they got off on the wrong foot? Who knows? But the fact that every single like person of color in the house is like being not, like, excluded from everything, and then all of, like, and it was like, well, you know, Bella is a person of color and she's like being included in things. Then all of a sudden they turned against her, and it was like, okay, now it's being made very clear. And I usually don't jump to that sort of thing because I like to try and give like the benefit of the doubt and try and see like, okay, what's really going on here. But it just seems very suspect, and I'm really not okay with it. It seems gross and wrong, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I was listening to the podcast from Sunday night with you and Rob Tarrin, and somebody called in and said something, and I couldn't really tell what they were doing. I think he was congratulating you guys on trying to spread positivity, and he doesn't like when people assign labels like that, like on social media. And I agree that people on social media can be toxic sometimes. However, it didn't seem like he was necessarily applauding you guys for the right reasons that I wanted to applaud you for. Like, I wanted to applaud you for the fact that on your live feed update, you at least made mention of the fact that, hey, you know, I'm willing to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. But when David goes out first, then you have your sights set on Kenny, and Jessica and Obi are next on your hit list. And then, oh, by the way, let's get rid of Bella. Like, what do all these people have in common? Obviously, they're non-Caucasian house guests. They're people of color. And it doesn't look good optically at best from the outside. And to hear you acknowledge that, I was really happy to hear.
Yeah. And I think that it is something that, like, it's very clear. There's a large group of people, and there's a minority of people, and that minority is being targeted, and they don't fit in with the big clicky group of the majority in the house. And it's almost like it would be one thing if it just stopped there. You know, that happens sometimes. There is often, and race can sometimes come into play. And that's something that Eddie talked about in Big Brother Canada 7. It's something that a lot of people have talked about in the past, that, you know, there are barriers, cultural or otherwise, that, and biases that can, get in the way of, people of color or, minorities of any kind, fitting in with a big group of people. But it goes further than that this season, where they are not only, you know, having more difficulty fitting in. They are not only being targeted, but they are constantly being trashed by these people. They are being made fun of. They are being called names. It has definitely gone too far in this direction. And, and it's not good.
It's not good. I will say that, apparently, as we saw on the live feeds, earlier today, it did get so bad. I think when Oprah comes into something, then you know you're probably having problems. The Oprah magazine tweeted out that there is a bunch of Big Brother house guests who want Jack expelled from the house, and Jack got a talking to from production earlier today. I believe it was the thing about him wanting to stomp a mud hole through Kemi that really got him, drew the ire of production, but I don't know what else they talked to him about. But he's at least aware of that at this point. So hopefully his behavior will change. I don't know. We'll see. He did talk to Kemi. I can't remember if it was before or after he told Tommy that. And they were talking about Oceans and Jason Momoa and things like that. And it did seem like they were getting along. Amazing what it's like to actually find out you like somebody or can get along with somebody when you talk to them, Melissa.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Honestly, I just find the whole thing awful. And I also feel like they're picking on people for things that they should certainly not be picking on people for. I mean, I, you know, like Ovi, I guess, has, you know, IBS, and, you know, I have a form of IBD, which is ulcerative colitis. And if anyone was making fun of me for that and talking about me behind my back and mocking, you know, when I'm needing to use the bathroom or whatever, like, I can't even imagine someone making fun of me for that. It's just so beyond cruel. It's not something that I'm excited about. I'm not like, it's not something I would choose to have. And so the fact that they're making fun of Ovi for that, and like, I guess they were calling him like Pooh Bear and all these other things, like, it is beyond cruel, because it's already something that you're suffering from. And then to be made fun of for something like that, like, I honestly, it makes me so upset. And it's not okay. It's not okay. And I can't root for people like that. Like, you know, there are some things where it's like, okay, well, this is a game, and, you know, you have to go against people in a game and da 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 da. But I just can't root for people who have such cruelty in their hearts. Like, I just can't. And, you know, I hope they all get out one by one. Good riddance. Get rid of them so we can actually have nice people play. There are some nice people in the house. There really are. I mean, look at Cliff. Cliff is like this unproblematic, amazing, awesome guy. Like,
Cliff is the one everyone was concerned about pre-season too.
People are like, oh, is he a Trump?
Judged him based on his looks.
Is it all? Is Lou this cowboy hat? No, this guy. I mean, he's wearing like this like rainbow hat for pride and all this other stuff. Like, this is such a great, nice guy. And the fact that he even talked to the cameras and stuff, saying like, look, like, I don't like the way people are making fun of Ovi. Like, I'm on the block. I'm trying to fit in, but like, I hate it. I don't want to do this. Like, that at least shows that he, you know, he feels bad about it. He recognizes that there's something wrong going on. And that's the thing, is like, I understand to an extent, you know, obviously, like, if I was in the house, like, I would hope, and I would assume I would stand up to these people and say like, hey guys, like, let's cut it out. But I understand, like, Cliff's on the block. He's the old guy. Usually the old guy goes home first. Like, he had to just like, you know, hang out with people and get to know them and make them feel comfortable with him. So I get it. But, you know, it's frustrating that is the way that people have to, you know, fit in this house, is to just like pick a target who's by themselves and just make them feel awful. Just make them feel bad about themselves. Like, I just, it's, I hate it. I'm not a fan.
Yes. And I know that there is a contingent of fans out there that are used to sort of knee jerk reactions to it, like with the word bullying, where people are playing the game and they get called bullies within the house, outside of the house, so on and so forth. It's very clear if you haven't been paying attention, like if you're trusting our opinions, like this is a very clear case to me where like these people are generally, and I think Jack most of all is genuinely just a bully in the house. And he is saying things like about Nicole, like about Ovi, and doing actual things that like, yeah, this is exactly what bullying is. This is exactly what all of this looks like. And, and it's genuinely, bad and unfortunate.
Yeah, exactly. No, I totally agree. I think that a lot of situations in this game in particular have people jumping to, oh, they're bullying. This is bullying. I mean, you know, remember in Big Brother Celebrity last season where it was like, I guess it was like Lolo and Natalie, like
everybody was bullying everybody that season.
Yeah, it was like everyone's bullying. And it really wasn't bullying. And we were like, this is not bullying. This is not it. But Big Brother 19 with Paul and his like little minions, like running after Cody and Jess and like just berating them in the backyard. That is bullying there. And I feel like this is bullying too. And this is not a situation where we're like, you know, using the bully word. I just feel like it gets thrown around really loosely now. And I don't think that's this. This is bullying. Like this is, you know, trash talking people behind their back. And also just because you're not doing something to them in front doesn't mean it's not bad. Like just because you're talking with your friends or whatever, like it's still unbelievably cruel and hurtful. Like,
When Ovi leaves the room and Jack turns around and goes, douche, like, that doesn't make it any better that you didn't do it.
That was so problematic to me because he was the only reason Ovi even said anything in the first place was because Jack had asked him a question.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Dude, do you feel swole? How swole do you feel, dude? Like, I mean, again, I agree with Kirsten McKenna. It's like, what's he supposed to say? Like, no, I don't feel swole, actually.
It's like the jock teasing the like nerd, like, oh, you feel swole. It's like, it's unnecessary. It's totally unnecessary. Like if he was trying to be supportive and saying like, oh, you feeling swole? Like, yeah, go on, go out there and get it. Like whatever. And that was the end of it. I mean, that's fine. But the fact that he like then turns around, like I wouldn't have said a thing if he didn't then turn around and say, and call him a douche. Like, well, I don't understand. All he did was just say, he said, you feeling swole? He said, yeah, gonna go out there. Like it wasn't even, and he's like, have a good day, whatever. It wasn't even like a weird thing. I could see a situation where he calls him a douche because Ovi's running around the house like, I'm so swole, look at me, I feel look great, look at me. Like then it's
I
like,
wish Ovi would do that
guys like too much, but you know it's I'm
maybe he will
douche.
if he
makes so
he's going.
Many cookies, what a douche. It's hard to watch and not be able to do anything about it. Like,
right.
I just want to like go and be friends with Ovi and be and tell him like, screw these people, they suck. Like, but he's on my screen.
I love him. The people don't feel that way. Like it makes me so. This is one of the hardest parts of watching Big Brother is sitting on the sidelines and not being able to help people. Like, I just feel like I want to help and I can't. And I just have to watch like cruelty happen. Like, you know, it's similar to when they're playing a game, when they're playing the game and it's like, they don't know the move to make. And you're like, it's right there in front of you. But that's not as bad as this. That's not like, you know, it's like, there's a difference between watching a move being made and you're like, no, do a different move. And this one where you're like, this poor person is just getting like so badly hurt and you want to help them. And I mean, there's,
just back up just a little bit. I will say this, at least at the current pace, they're doing it behind his back. It's not like they're making fun of him directly to Obi's face. I realize he's going to find out about it once he gets out of the house, but they're not within the game making fun of him directly to his face. Maybe you can say morally that's worse or not, but I feel a little bit better for it. So at least Ovi currently, while he's in the game, is being shielded from it. I also wanted to remind you, Melissa, that if you think Jack is problematic, you can just tell everything that's based on, for Jack is through his looks, because he said about Jessica that he flirts with her so that she'll feel better about herself.
That is so insulting. Jessica doesn't need you to feel good about herself.
These quotes from Jack are just so infuriating.
It's like they're from a movie. Like, yes. I mean, who says stuff like this?
Exactly. It's like a high school. It's like a early 2000s like romantic comedy where there's like the bad boy, like high school jock who like is just so awful. I want to just go in there and be like, you're not hot. Like, you're not that hot. Like, come on.
You're not Aquaman.
You're not Aquaman. You're no Jason Momoa. Like, everyone was trying to flatter him.
You're Jason Mimosa.
You cut your hair and you look nothing like him, okay?
All right. We've got to, as people are pointing out, we're 50 minutes into the podcast. We haven't gotten through the state of the house. All right. So that's Jack and Jackson. And Jack sucks. And Jackson, I guess, kind of sucks. Holly.
Okay.
He's as Holly and Kat point out, Jackson is like he's still a bit of a frat boy, but not quite, especially in comparison to Jack, not quite as bad. But the way he talks about Kat is not great, and she'd probably not like it if she heard what he was saying about her. So she'd probably change her tune on that. Holly and Jackson are pretty close. They're pretty close in the game. They're in that alliance of grateful. And then Holly and Sis are also a little bit of a duo there in the alliance. So that's basically how the grateful subgroups or relationships at least break down. But there are lots of cracks in grateful, in particular that Nick is targeting Jack. Thank you, Nick. And potentially even going to nominate him if he wins HOH, but in particular, more looking like he would rather throw the HOH to somebody that would target Nick for, or sorry, target Jack for him. So that's happening. Jack wants to target Nick, not as immediately as Nick wants to target Jack, but Jack has realized or has been told by Christy that Nick is kind of anti-Jack a little bit, but they're also still kind of working together in stage five and all of that stuff's happening. So he's still, Jack is more like, I'll wait until we get to the eight and then I'll target Nick. Or maybe if the opportunity presents itself, I'll target Nick. So not nearly as aggressively as Nick is targeting Jack, but the cracks are there. Christy hates Jack and loves Jack at the same time, I think, and is constantly talking about how terrible Jack is and how she's definitely going to take him out of the game. And this is definitely going to get back to Jack at some point because she's told literally everybody and also their entire family.
It's crazy to me that he doesn't really understand the full extent of how she feels about him because she's told so many people. I mean, if I was wanting to throw Christy under the bus to after the next HOH competition, I mean, you have all the ammunition that you need and she has told everybody who will listen how she feels about Jack. So I don't understand what she's doing. Again, her relationship with Tommy may not be enough to save her. I don't think she's playing very well at all.
Yeah. Bella is also a bit on the outs in this group. Again, unsurprisingly, not really close to anyone in the group in particular. She was close to Christy, but Christy soured on that relationship. And so she's really just close to Nick. And Tommy loves Bella. But again, Tommy, he keeps his distance. He's still kind of playing the field. I think Tommy would love to work with Bella, but if he needs to, if she's, you know, fallen away, then he's going to let her fall. I don't think she could rely on Tommy, but I do think that Tommy would step in to help her if it didn't cost him anything. That's grateful. That's what they've got going on. They've got lots of cracks. They've got lots of individual relationships. We do also have the Black Widows that I mentioned, Jess, Kemi, Bella, and Nicole. But they have also talked girl power, Jessica in particular, with a lot of the other women. So the women are aware that there's a woman thing going on, and this is very likely to get out pretty soon. They don't know about the core four, the Black Widows, but as I mentioned, just the merest scent of a women's alliance is usually enough for the men to start being like, whoa, not good. Mm-hmm. Don't like that.
Don't like that. No likey. Me no likey.
There's a criteria to enter that alliance that I cannot fulfill. That's not good for me. So There are also some other relationships in the house that are outside of these groupings of alliances. Nick and Sam are a bit of a duo. They're bros. They work together a lot. They talk together a lot. Sam is probably Nick's closest ally, I would say. Even more so than Bella, just in terms of how much he reveals to Sam versus how much he reveals to Bella. Bella and Kemi are a bit of a duo. Kemi, I was seeing just, you know, not 15 minutes ago, Kemi was talking to Bella, telling her that she is the person she trusts the most in the house, and we all know that she should not be doing that. But I do feel like this might be a case where if Kemi never learns that Bella betrayed her, it might just kind of turn into Bella might turn into somebody that she can trust. Because maybe she will start to gravitate more toward Kemi. I do think she genuinely likes Kemi. So they might accidentally turn into a good duo, but right now they're not the best.
Yeah, I'm really psyched for that. I'm hoping that's what happens. I really do feel like, because when the feats came on, we were like, oh, I mean, it took us about maybe a couple hours to realize that Kemi was the target at the time. And then we quickly realized that it was because of Bella, because she even had a conversation with Bella. And then Bella quickly relayed that to somebody else who obviously Kemi shouldn't be trusting. I can't remember who. Don't ask me. I just know that this is what happened. So then we were like, no, like, I mean, Bella's playing the ultimate rat floater game, and I am here for that because I enjoy the rat floater queen, but she had her sights set on Kemi, who were like, no, that would be perfect for you to work with her. Why are you doing that? I'm thinking that maybe just in the early days of the house, she was playing really messy. I can see her doing that. Kemi said something to her, confided in her about her, you know, targeting Jack or Jackson. She decided she'd spill the beans and act cool. And then before you know it, Kemi has become the target and she can't really stop the train from going down the tracks. So that's kind of how I feel what happened
there. Well, I feel like I kind of see this, and this might be wrong. It might turn out to be wrong, but I kind of see this like it's the friendship where there are two people and one of them, they're both nerdy people. They're both outcasts, right? But one of them aspires to be a cool kid. And so that one gets the invite to the cool kid club, but they say, you can't bring Kemi. And she goes, that's fine. I'm coming. And she says, oh, Kemi talks crap about you all the time. Kemi sucks. And rats out her old outcast friend so she can be with the cool kids. But then when the cool kids are like, ah, we don't actually like you that much, Bella, she kind of runs back to her old, oh no, we were always tight buds. I never talk crap about you. We're definitely cool. And so it's like, that might work out. But again, at the next time a cool kid invites her, I feel like if Bella feels like she has a better opportunity, she's going to abandon Kemi again.
Well, you know, the funny part is that Bella basically told the women that, where she was like, you know, I mean, I'm here for this women's thing until I'm not. I was like, all right, for honesty, I appreciate that.
So watch out for that one. Jackson and Kat are obviously a bit of a duo, but you know, it's a weird relationship that we've kind of touched on. Jackson and Cliff have kind of a relationship. Cliff has a lot of relationships with people. None of them are too strong. He has a little bit of a thing with Nicole, a little bit of a thing with Jackson, a little bit of a thing with Ovi, but in general, nothing super strong. He still doesn't really have enough sort of power in the house or influence in the house to make any moves or anything like that. He does want to try and get closer with Sam as well. Sam used the veto on him and he's trying to be like, hey, you know, where are you going, Sam? You know, can we bond over the fact that you used the veto on me? But really anywhere Cliff goes, he's met with brick walls, like people that like him and are like, hey, yeah, we totally will bring you in. But then go in and talk about him to other people like, oh, yeah, I've brought Cliff in here. There's no secret, like respect, mutual respect kind of alliances going on with Cliff, unfortunately.
Maybe eventually, hopefully.
Then finally, Jack and Ovi. So Ovi is also a bit more like, you know, he's trying. He has a fake alliance with people. I think his closest person is probably somebody like Cliff, but also somebody like Jack, who unfortunately is the person worst making fun of him. But is like, oh, yeah, I've got Ovi eating out of the palm of my hand. It's great. He'll do anything I say.
I know, like, that's the thing, is that's
that is what's boggling to me.
Get rid of that.
Because everybody eats out of the palm of Jack's hand, and so he doesn't need one in particular.
Oh, God, you're right. I was going to like, but I feel like he's right. I mean, at least for the first week and a half at the house, I feel like that's how it's been. So, but now maybe he realizes that he is in a bit of a trouble. Like, I mean, there's not everybody that's eating out of the palm of his hand. I really feel like keeping somebody like him, Ovi, in the house for somebody like Jack would be something that he should consider doing, especially over somebody like Kat, who is completely unmanageable.
Yeah. So, that's about the state of the house. Have we missed anything?
I think we got basically everything. I mean, you know, look, there's a bunch of cool kids over here. There's a bunch of people over here who happen to be mostly minorities and outcasts. And they're not currently in power, but we all really love them and we want them to come to power and rule the world. That's basically the state of the house.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Let's get into the Stockwatch portion of the show. We're going to start rating the players. Right. This is what we do on the roundtable. If you're new to the roundtable, what we do here is we go through each player in the game and we talk about how they're doing this week in the house game wise. And we give them a rating from 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst, 10 being like you're playing like Dan Gheesling, 1 being, you're playing like name the worst player you can think of, Victoria or Sam Rockstar or whatever.
Just kidding.
so that's how it goes. So we're going to move over. If you are watching the video version, then you will get to see the little graphic that we have. It's just a little bit of a nice little spreadsheet here with the numbers that will pop up as we go. And if you are listening, then don't worry. They're just easy numbers. We don't go above 10. So let's start talking about these players here. We're going to start with our HOH, Christy. Now, we've already talked a lot about her game and what she's been up to this week. I do feel like she has made a lot of mistakes this week, but she is coming away right now, at the very least, with very few people actively talking about targeting her. So, Brent, how do you feel about Christy?
I'm giving Christy a bad score. I'm going to give her a 3. It is a particularly bad score for somebody who is the current head of household and the first HOH of the season, but I feel compelled to give her 1 for a variety of reasons. Number 1, she has basically word vomited her entire plans to anybody who will listen. Anybody that has a pulse knows what Christy is thinking at any given time. The other problem that I see is that she is, like Kat, totally unable to manage her own emotions within the Big Brother game. She wants to be a good person, but yet she wants to play the game. You can't have both. And it doesn't seem like that she's able to wrap her head around that fact yet. I do not feel like this person can go the distance in the Big Brother game. There's just no way. Now, it's true that currently not very many people are thinking about targeting her, but I do not see that remaining if she continues to act like this. She's going to have an opinion about whoever is evicted next. After her HOH is over, I'm talking about, let's say, I don't know, Jessica wins HOH, if only. We could only dream. And then Christy's going to have an opinion about who goes that week or not. And she's going to get her into her emotions about that. She's going to need to learn to center herself, get her energy right, and be one with the universe in order to have a chance to win this game. Otherwise, I don't see it happening. So it's a 3.
All right, Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd give her a 4 because I do feel like she's gotten in with certain people and she's, you know, I think she's good socially. I think the problem is, and like Brent said, she talks a lot and she's talked a lot of bad stuff about maybe almost everyone in the house.
Allies. She's talked about her own allies.
Exactly. And a lot of allies. So like the second that gets out, if it ever gets out, she's in trouble. So I could see that going poorly for her. And I feel like, especially like that's, you shouldn't be talking to certain people. Like if you've picked your allies, then like, don't talk crap about them to other people. Like even if, I don't know. So I do think she's very emotional and I feel like her mind, she's gone like this way, that way, we're going with this person, that person. And it's just flip-flop so much that I just feel like it wasn't a strong HOH for her. So that's why I'm giving her a 4.
Yes, this is it's not the best HOH week for Christy. I do feel like she has room to rebound, and so I might be a little bit higher on her than you guys. I gave her a 5, and it, you know, because I feel like her position is like a 7. She is very well insulated. She has Tommy, who is, I think, the best player in the house, really helping her and backing her up in whatever way that he can, even though he's obviously not trying that hard. But I do think that once she comes out from power, she can be a little bit more her calm, collected self that she was before she started freaking out. And she has so many connections. She's so well insulated. Nobody's targeting her. I do feel good about her moving forward from this week, as long as she can calm down and chill out and stop being as paranoid as she has been. But I do think there are a lot of dangers for her looming that obviously that we talked about, talking crap about Jack and Bella and all of these people. But I do think that really the thing that boosted me from a 4 to a 5 is the fact that she knows Tommy in real life, and he has a lot of incentive to keep her safe. And I do feel like he has a lot of influence in the house. So that's that she got a 5 from me. That's what happened there. The audience is also rating the house guests. I send out, as I mentioned earlier, a survey every week at Armstrong Taren on Twitter, and the audience fills it out. The audience gives their own rating, and we give an average rating from the audience to give the total rating here. And the audience decided to give Christy a 4 out of 10. So the audience was with Melissa on this one.
As they always are. I'm allowed to say that now because it was only one. And so 100%, I can't say that later, probably.
All right. Let's move on to Ovi. Let's talk about Ovi as our likely evictee here. There's a lot that Ovi did wrong this week. From his perspective, he has an alliance of 5 that actually doesn't exist. He's been trying to lie low. He's been trying to pretend that he doesn't have the power. And he's been just trying to like survive to the next week with this alliance that he has. But from his perspective, if he has this alliance, he really doesn't check in with them very often. And he really should have realized that this alliance doesn't really exist by now. And he ends up getting put up on the block. He's backdoored. His power is useless. And his campaigning has also been kind of ineffective here. He hasn't quite realized yet that he's not staying. And he is it really looks like he might not even find out until it's too late for him to make any kind of dramatic move. I do feel like there is some room for him to survive this week, but it's really hard to see happen here. And so I have to give him a really low rating here, because it's been a very, very bad week for Ovi. And I think that he has a ton of upside if he survives or comes back in. But for right now, I gave Ovi a 2. I'm down at a 2 for Ovi. I do not feel good about it. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I gave Ovi a 2 too, because I, for all the reasons you said, you know, it's possible he stays, and if he stays, who knows? He could do really well and go really far. I don't know. But you know, at this point, he's just not doing so great. And the fact that he really just couldn't bond with people, couldn't like just get in with anybody, is disappointing and sad. And I also feel like, if you realize that you're really not quite clicking with people, like with the cool kids, then don't keep trying. Like, don't go to Jack and be like, you're my man. Like, if it's not working, like you can try that once. And if it doesn't seem to be like hitting, then form something with the outsiders, you know, like, and the fact that he, you know, he found out about this alliance of 8, like, why did he not use that information better? I just feel like there are so many things that like I wish had gone a little differently for him this week. So yeah, I'm giving him a 2.
Yeah, it's a 2 for me as well, for all the reasons you said. For those of people in the chat who are asking, we don't know that he will be able to keep his power or that he will lose his power if he is ultimately evicted and eventually comes back into the house. We are betting that he most likely gets to keep it just based on Big Brother and how they tend to do things. But there's no guarantee that that's going to happen. This is problematic for me grading somebody like Obi, because I'm looking at him trying to grade him, but I'm also like evaluating the terrible people that he's in there with. And it's like, or you look at somebody like Jessica or Kemi, and you're like, you're trying to grade them, but are they playing badly, or is it the people that they're surrounded with, or does that even matter? Like, you're surrounded by who you're surrounded by, and it's your job to play with them. So I don't really know how to evaluate some of these people, but with Obi, I think it's pretty straightforward, and it's a two.
Yes. So twos all around from us. The audience, though, just a tad bit higher on Ovi. Maybe some good feelings about Ovi influenced this one. Who knows? But the audience went with a 3 for Ovi. They feel just a little bit better. And honestly, I feel like a 3 is fine too. You know, because I do think that if he does manage to stay, as I said, there's a lot of upside here. You know, we've talked about both Josh and Ian were in this spot week one. They just got immunity. Essentially, their power worked for them, where Ovi's didn't. And so that if that's the only difference, then we could look for a good trajectory here from Ovi. So let's move on to Catherine. Let's talk about Catherine, the other person on the block. Melissa, let's start with you. How do you feel about Catherine here?
Not great, but I feel like it's so hard when these people are on the block the first week. You know, it doesn't really give you much room to really do anything or make any moves. But I don't feel great about her right now, to be honest. But I think that she might stay. So it's making me want to rate her higher than Ovi, but at the same time, I feel like the reason why she might leave is because of her own doing. So I feel like that's the problem, is like, you know, I feel like she could ruin this for herself. So, you know, I feel like she's doing what she can, but she's not really given a lot of leeway. But I'm going to give her a 2 for now, because I'm not really.
Good for you. I also gave her a 2, which I did. I thought I was going to be lower than everybody. I think she is completely not even meant for this game. This is somebody who I remember. I had a friend of a friend who knew. I knew Kat was going to be cast like 3 weeks before the cast was released, and I had received assurances that Kat had been coached in how to fight Big Brother and what to do and what not to do. And the hell with it. She's terrible at this. She doesn't know how to play Big Brother. She just cares about getting followers. And I think she's hilarious. She cracks me up. The thing she said on the feeds about, my only saving grace is if there's a America's Votes thing where people can vote for who they like the best, then maybe I could win that. I'm like, girl, no. Stop. It's 2.
I mean, preseason, what I said was it felt like she was told some very surface level generic Big Brother advice and then regurgitated it.
I fell for this one, just like I fell for the 8 people are going to be returnees rumor.
Yes. Yeah. So I can tell you that the audience is with the two of you. Actually, the audience gave Kat a 2 out of 10. The audience also very low on Kat, which means that I, in this one, am the slightly higher one, because I gave Kat a 3. This week, she has been just completely crumbling under the pressure of being on the block. Nobody respects her in the house, but she does have some allies, which honestly is better than what I can say for somebody like Ovi. She has Jess, who likes her and wants to work with her and wants to work with all of the women, even though Kat doesn't want to work with the women. She's got Holly, who she at the very least potentially knows from outside of the game, and at the very least has a very tight bond with her in the game. And of course, she has Jackson, who isn't really trying to do a lot to protect her, but, you know, will do more than most people in the house would do to protect other people in the house. So she has some people pulling for her, and nobody really thinks that she's a threat. Nobody's really talking about taking her out of the game anytime soon. Give someone time in the game to learn and grow and just sort of like sit there, that, you know, they might eventually come and do something. So I'm at a 3 here for Catherine, but, like with Ovi, it's going to average out to a 2 overall. All right.
Do you want to talk about anything that's happening on the feeds right now, or you want to wait till we're done with all of this to mention that?
Is there breaking news? I saw some people talking about it, but I haven't seen anything on Twitter.
Yeah, Big Brother Daily is reporting that Ovi has revealed to Jack about his power. So that at least is out in the open, which, you know, the way things stand right now, I am more excited about the fact that at least that's out there and could potentially shake up the game board a little bit. Ovi says, this is Ovi talking. He says, I cannot sit back. I have to do whatever I can. I hope I'm not getting played. I really not. And then, he was talking to Jack. So he, If I could stay in this house another week for another week, I can convince somebody to put me up on the block and use my nightmare power and I'm safe for another week. So I'm not sure. I wasn't Jack. You're asking why Jack. So well,
was it Jack or was he talking to himself?
Is he talking to himself?
Talking to Mondo, Jack or to himself.
Mondo, you said that he was talking to Jack and I checked it. And then there's a tweet where Jack and Ovi are talking. And then the tweet right above that is
everybody's
Ovi
asking
to
it in the comments.
So I'm like, coming for you, Mondo.
See, I said I couldn't find confirmation.
Yeah. Well, in my defense, it says there's a tweet of them talking.
Usually they say to himself or like to camera or something. Usually they'll say that.
Yeah, Puya's reporting that he's monologuing. So, Mondo!
Thank goodness. I'm glad he's not. I mean, if he's going to reveal it to... I mean, he should reveal it to somebody as like a last-ditch effort to save himself, but he should not reveal it to Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I kind of feel like he should... I don't know who does he trust?
I mean, his best shot is probably Christy, or even honestly like Tommy, and then Tommy could maybe convince Christy. I think it has to be one of those two, because I think those two are the only ones really capable of flipping the entire house, and I think it has to be the entire house. So
okay,
we'll see though.
All right, so that's fake news. Never mind.
Fake news. All right, let's move on to Jackson. Let's talk about Jackson. Now, Jackson this week obviously has just been, kind of playing along, bonding with Jack, just kind of doing his own thing. Not a ton of strategy talk from Jackson, but he is well-liked in the house, as opposed to Jack himself. Jackson is tight with Bella. He's got this thing with Kat. Even people like Christy talk about liking Jackson. He is often talked about in context with Jack, but only ever with like, oh, well, we're targeting Jack and maybe we'll put Jackson on the block next to him, but we're always targeting Jack. And so even Nick, who had been talking about targeting Jackson, is now wanting to target Jack. So it's very, very important to know the distinction between those two. I actually felt pretty good about Jackson myself. I feel like he's seen in the house as just like a solid dude. He's not over strategizing. He's, he's fitting in with the big group, and nobody really wants to come for him right now. I could see that changing pretty soon, but I actually gave him a 6 out of 10. I do feel pretty good about his position at the moment. What do you think?
You're such a softy. I did give him a pretty good score. I gave him a 5, but I couldn't go into the upper echelons just because I couldn't. But I do agree with you. And people on the chat room that are like -100, -50 for Jackson. I mean, yes, he looks like the frat boy, the guy that like made all of our high school lives hell. He looks like that, but he's actually kind of a doofus in the house, at least as far as watching him on the feeds. And as Taryn noted, he's seen as pretty solid by most of the other house guests. Look, I don't think somebody who looks like him can ever make it to the end of the Big Brother game, but currently is the way things stand. And let me finish my thought. The way things stand, I think he's positioned relatively well, so that's why I gave him a 5. On the other hand, I just watched 4 like tank guys make it to the end of Big Brother Canada 7, so who knows about what's in store for us this season.
Yeah, I would give him a 5 as well. I do think he's in a better position in the house. I don't know how he is in regards to strategy quite yet, but I will say that there's good and bad for his position. I feel like right now he's in a good position, but at the same time he's connecting himself so much with Jack that I feel like it's going to be a problem, because they're going to see it as like, okay, well, we need to target Jack, so like, if we can't get Jack, let's get out as close as Allie. Let's get out Jackson. You know, I could see a situation where they're both put on the block and, you know, oh, there we go. There, Jack gets a veto and Jackson's gone. I could absolutely see that happening. So, I do feel like he is in a little bit of a precarious position right now, but, I think that if Jack leaves the house, then maybe Jackson has a better path forward. So that's why I'm giving him a five. Also, I think, and I hope that I just use their names all properly, but I was getting myself a little confused with the Jackson and Jax.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that sold it for me is that anytime Jax's name is mentioned, there's usually at least one person in the room that's like, oh, but isn't he such a sweetheart? Isn't he just such a great guy? So I think he has that sort of going for him right now. The audience, though, disagrees. The audience not very high on Jackson. They gave him a 4 out of 10, and let me tell you, it was barely a 4. It was it was a 3.5.
I know we don't feel great about him, like, personally. Well, I mean, I know you all don't feel great about him personally, but I feel okay about him personally and within the game. I feel like if you're rating him objectively, it's not even close to a 3. It really should be more like a 5 or a 6.
All right, there you go. Let's talk about Jack. Going from Jackson to Jack. Now, Jack, if you're having trouble distinguishing, Jack is the worse one. We used to refer to them as Jackson and Aquaman, but now it can just be Jackson and the worst one, I think. We don't usually do this. Let's start with the audience for Jack.
So what do the audience have to say about Jack?
The audience doesn't like Jack. Who knew?
Oh, what?
That's amazing to me. You know, this is amazing because Jack actually started at one point as the number one house guest on Joker's updates before the season started. That tells you just how far he's fallen.
It does. Well, the audience gave Jack a 2 out of 10. Same rating as Kat. Jack same and Kat, rating, two peas in a pod.
Same rating as Brent. I also gave Jack a 2. I handed out a lot of 2s this week. Wow. I gave him a 2. First of all, I mean, what I said about Jackson really applies with Jack. Nobody who ever looks like him is going to make it to the end of Big Brother. I don't think somebody who talks like him, who has that sort of a mystere about him.
Are you saying that Jason Momoa could not win Big Brother?
I don't think so. I think they would get rid of him by jury. I'm saying, by the way, people in the chat who keep talking about me and Melissa switching places. I don't know why me and Melissa switch places on the video chat.
It doesn't matter. It's just because of the squares that I put there. They just happen to be reversed.
Karen's playing Hollywood squares and he's playing tic-tac-toe. Like, leave us alone. I have no idea, but I gave him a 2.
I don't want to fix it. It's hard to get these things nicely lined up.
It really is. Like, there was a time where I'm like, well, maybe we could have someone on the podcast for like just like 1 minute. Cause we were in New York and LaGore wanted to be on the podcast or I wouldn't have LaGore. And Taryn's like, well, that would make it really tough. Cause then I have to have 4 squares instead of 3 squares. So yeah. And it's a real deal.
You should. I mean, anytime we have to add someone on Rob, like, because Rob has a bunch of different setups, but even then, it's like, oh man, we got to figure out how to squeeze this in.
Yeah, that was the night where Taryn and Matt were like literally in the same screen together because Taryn didn't want to have to make a new setup.
Melissa, how do you feel about Jack?
I don't, I'm trying to be like objective with this because it's like, I want to give him like
a
0.
You can give him an objectively bad score here.
I do want to give him a bad score, but I mean like how bad, because like I want to give him a 0, but I'm trying to be objective here. And I feel like, I don't think it's going to be that easy to get rid of him. And that's what I'm afraid of.
Before you give him your score, I will note that Jack is one of the 5 people that is up to play in the week 2 activity competition. And all of the people who are slated to play in that are in one form or another connected to the Jack Jackson duo. It's Jack Jackson, Holly, Tommy, and Sam who are all competing in the week 2 activity. So one of those 5 people is going to get a power. I have to believe that Jack or maybe Tommy is an odds on favorite to win that. Maybe even Sam. Who knows? I have no idea what they're going to do. But that I agree with your take that usually with the villain on Big Brother, it takes a couple weeks to get them out.
Right, exactly. And so I'm hesitant to give him such a low score because I don't think he's playing. I thought he was playing well, but I feel like now everyone kind of sees that he needs to get out. And I feel like there's kind of a consensus building that like, okay, well, we do need to get rid of him. But I don't know if that consensus is like, we need to get rid of him now. And I think the problem is that if that continues on where it's like, well, we all know we need to get rid of him, just not right now. We all know. So I don't want to focus on that. And I feel like that could be the problem is that it just kind of just keeps getting put off. And eventually it becomes really hard to get him out. So I'm going to give him a 3, and that's because he's part of this giant majority alliance. And he does seem to have some bonds in there. So I'm going to give that to him, but.
Yes, I'm with you here. I gave Jack a 3 here as well. I feel like he's not exactly a pariah yet. You know, like there are certainly a lot of people that don't like him and that want to come for him, but he still has allies. He still has Jackson. He still has that other person, Sis. He still has Sis.
Yeah.
Who continues to try to deny, like she vacillates from, oh my God, he's so hot. He's just so hot, to like, oh, but I don't like him, to like being in bed with him. Like he's so hot though. And so he still kind of has Sis, and he's got some allies. He has some people around him. I think that there are so many people using him as a shield that we might get to a point where somebody comes to the realization that like, wait, well, so if everyone's using Jack as a shield, who's the real threat? Because Jack's not it. And if that happens, then I could see him, you know, sneaking by a little bit longer. But I do feel like his personality in general is going to make it hard for him to sneak by anything. So I'm not super high on him in general, but I did give him a 3 here. He wanted Kemi out. It didn't work. And now he still wants Kemi out, and Kemi's coming for him. So
good for Kemi.
All right. Let's talk about Tommy. Tommy's my guy. Tommy's my favorite in the house in terms of gameplay. Personally, I feel like he's playing the best game. He is very well connected, not only within the 8, but also within basically every formation of sub-alliance within the 8. Even when he's not involved in the creation of the alliance, which he almost never is, he's always included in the alliance, which is fantastic for him. And then on top of that, he also happens to be the person with the best connections outside of the alliance. He always socializes with people like Kat and Ovi and Cliff. He socializes with them far more often than anybody else. He hasn't made official alliances with them like some other members have, but he has great relationships. And everyone recognizes this, but nobody is threatened by it, at least yet. And so I feel very good about Tommy. Not only that, but the way that Tommy talks about the game. I talked about this preseason, how he mentioned that having an enemy is sometimes good. And I was like, I've never heard a player say that. I say that all the time. I've never heard a player say that before. That was so nice to hear. And he continues to do stuff like that in the house that just really impresses me. And it's like, if this guy was not in the like Big Brother strategy community before going on the show, then I am like, my mind is boggled at how like quick his mind has adapted to like deep hardcore Big Brother strategies. If he was a part of it, then like then he's still great. But it's crazy to me that he is not the guy being like, hey, you know, Hamster Watch, RHAP, because he really knows this game well. And it's very fun to see. I'm not like this is not necessarily like Tyler levels yet. This is not necessarily like all the way in on him. He's still a very passive player right now. He's not quite as well insulated or as dominant or as manipulative as some other players that we've seen that are very smart. But I do really like what I see from Tommy, and I'm very hopeful for him in the future. I gave him an 8 out of 10.
Yeah. I'm going to give him a 7 because I do agree with what you're saying. But I think that the concern I have, and this is obviously like, I mean, obviously I'm giving him a great score, but you know, I still have the concern that like, and a lot of players do really well in the beginning where it's like this like low key game and you're like, oh, like they're going to, you know, pop out near the end and like, you know, have great moves and know exactly what to do and take out all the power players. And they're going to like beast it to the end. but sometimes they don't, and they just like kind of fizzle out, and they don't have that like second half of the game.
For what it's worth, I probably would have given Frankie Grande an 8 out of 10 in week one as well.
No, I know. That's the thing is like, there are a lot of players who like in the beginning, I feel like it's a lot easier to do the beginning part of the game where it's like, you're very low key and kind of just like getting to know people and getting pulled into these alliances just by being like a nice social person who's easy to get along with. And that's great. And the fact that he's already like talking about the game in ways that we're like, ooh, I see something there is great. But, you know, sometimes I've seen total flops where all of a sudden it's like the second half of the game where they need to turn it on. They're not turning it on and nothing's happening. And then eventually they're gone. So I'm hopeful that we don't see that. And instead we see him actually like turn it on and play the game and go all out when it gets down to the end. But you know, we'll have to see. I mean, hopefully he gets to that point. So I'm giving him a 7 because I do really like what I've seen so far, but we'll just have to see.
All right. Brent, what do you think?
I gave him an 8. I agree with mostly what you said, but the thing that really comes through loud and clear to me is that it really helps so much. Again, being a fan of the show, understanding what the live feeds are, understanding what to expect from Big Brother, all of that comes into play. And the person that he sort of decided to pick a fight with this week is the person who happens to be going home in Ovi, at least at the current time. So I really like what I'm seeing from Tommy. Nobody has a bad word to say about him. I know that some people in the chat are reporting that Kemi said that she doesn't trust Tommy. But on the other hand, like just 24 hours ago, Kemi was talking about people that she would name as nominees if she were HOH. And she had excluded Tommy from from that list of people. So she obviously feels somewhat good about him. So I don't know what she had to say, but I think that he's good with almost everybody. So it's an 8.
Yeah. And Kemi has bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, for real.
Than Tommy.
Yeah, come on. It's just for this week, we're giving him a score. Next week, we can deal with it. Yes.
Yes. The audience is with us, Brent. The audience gave Tommy an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty accurate.
So that's an 8 average overall for Tommy. So let's talk about Annalise, a.k.a. Sis. This was like the hardest person to like put, because I especially when I do the survey ratings, like I put them in order alphabetically, and Annalise is either first or like second to last, depending on which name I put first, because they mostly call her Sis, but then also some people don't know who Sis refers to because it hasn't really been addressed on the show quite yet. So, man, it's annoying.
It's Annalise. But, Annalise, yes. That's who it is.
Annalise/Sis. Annalise.
Look, as you're going to find out when we get to some of these other people, that really, it's not so much about their active gaming in the house, but it's really more about position. Position is king to me in Big Brother. And I do like her position in the house, even though she is probably just wallpaper. I think she was caught on the feed saying yesterday that she doesn't want to think about the game. She just wants to chill and relax. And, you know, but I mean, you know, if you're gaming all the time, I could see even somebody like Tony Vlachos saying, you know, I just want to chill and relax. I don't want to think about the game right now. So I'm not going to come down her too hard for that. I gave her a 4. I think her position is pretty sound. Nobody's going to come for her. Nobody's threatened by her. She's a little messy, though, in terms of how she plays the Big Brother game and what she says and who she confides in. That might eventually come back to bite her in the ass. But right now, I don't see anybody coming. Who's coming for Annalise right now? No one. No one's coming for Annalise.
And well, Kemi did mention, somebody mentioned nominating her next to Jack, but Jack would be the target.
Yeah, I think that would be it. So you're really going to tell me you're going to quote unquote waste your week 2 HOH on somebody like Annalise? I don't think that's going to fly.
No, just as the pawn next to Jack because she's so enamored by him.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
But I'm with you. I also gave Sis a four out of 10. She's position wise, it's fine. Like, honestly, I was close to giving her a 5, but if she just showed like just a little bit of sort of strategic sense, if her head was in the game just a little bit more, I would give her that sort of 5 average kind of rating. Really, I thought that I was hoping that Sis would come in and be like Haley, but mm-hmm. better. And instead she's Haley, but worse, which is very unfortunate.
Very unfortunate. Yes.
Yeah.
Melissa, how do you feel?
I agree with you guys. It's, I mean, Normally, I would give her a 5 because she's very average and she's positioned well. But the fact that she doesn't seem to really have that much interest in playing the game, and the fact that I don't see her playing the game well, if when it does come to that, I feel like I just don't know if I can give her a 5. So I'm going to give her a 4 as well.
Yes. And I do think there's upside here, but right now there's not a lot of promise being shown. And I just don't know if the win equity is there here for Sis. The audience agrees with us. It's going to be straight 4s for Sis this week. So that's going to be how that goes. Let's talk about Holly. Let's talk about Holly. Holly's an interesting one. I was very low on Holly coming into the game. I did not like what she was giving me, but I've really turned around on her in the house so far. I don't love her allies. She's very close with Jackson. She's very close with Kat. And she is a little bit of a pot stirrer, which I do think could get her in trouble. But right now, her positioning is fantastic. Her allies aren't the best, but they are much bigger targets than her, which is good. I don't know where she falls, you know, sort of later game. And I don't know if she's capable of adapting and maneuvering as well as I would love her to. But I do like where she is now. And I feel confident about her safety for the time being. I actually gave Holly a 7 out of 10.
That's very cool. I gave Holly a 6, and I agree with your assessment of her. I am psyched to see what this girl has in store. This is the other person that I heard about coming onto the show, and I asked my friend, and again, they haven't been accurate on many things, but of the two of them, Kat and Holly, who would you bet on? And this person said, Holly, because she is far more competitive and much calmer, and she really loves to win as far as the pageant circuit goes that they both came from. So I like what I'm seeing from Holly. Her position is great. I think she's so insulated, maybe even more insulated than Chrissy is currently. I don't see anybody coming for her whatsoever. And to the people that she's with are certain to go out as targets in front of her. Taryn's right. She's a little bit of a pot stirrer, but I enjoy that. I mean, I don't want you to be wallpaper or a lampshade if you're going to be on Big Brother. At least have some fun with it. So, yeah, a 6 isn't a bad score, especially for somebody who's been pretty quiet.
Yeah, and as Cole points out in the chat, she is a beautiful older woman, as Kat said. Right.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was going to say, you need to point out that's a quote.
Because, I know people in the chat are like, Cole, how could you? He's quoting Kat.
Yeah, that's Kat said that to Holly when she was trying to make her feel better. You're a beautiful older woman.
That is so insulting. Like, so insulting. They would say that if she's an older woman at 31, then I'm an old woman.
Melissa, you are a beautiful older woman.
Melissa, I am
not a beautiful older woman.
I'm really hoping that they have this on the show. I think it's such a great moment. Please. I really want to hear from Holly when Kat says this to her.
That is literally so insulting. I can't. Oh, that is so awful. It's like so insulting, but like you could tell that like Kat's like trying to be nice. But it's like the worst way to be nice. Like that is so rude.
And Kat immediately realized, like, oh, I didn't mean like older like that. Like, you know, I meant like mature. Like,
oh, that's awful. Jeez. Well, for ratings, I would give Holly a 6 as well because of the same reasons you guys said. I've been impressed with her so far. I think that. I think she could do really well because I do think that she's smart and I think that she is, I don't think she's rash and I don't think she's crazy out there or anything. I think she would stop and think about things. And I don't know. I get a good sense from her, at least for now. So we'll see how it goes. But she's probably one of the ones I've been a little more surprised by in a good way.
Yes. All right. The audience
a lot of bad surprises, but she's not one of them.
The audience agrees with the two of you. The audience gave Holly a 6 out of 10. This was also it was barely a 6, but she did crack the 6. So that is going to average her out at a 6 overall. So let's move on and talk about Sam. Let's talk about Sam. Melissa, how do you feel about Sam? Now, he is very, as we talked about, very close with Nick, and he won the veto. He used it on Cliff, and he was in a position to influence how this week went. In fact, you might say that Sam is the most responsible for Ovi going home this week, which I don't actually love from him. But what do you think, Melissa?
I don't love that for him, and I feel like there wasn't really a need to play the veto this week. It's the first week. And unless you have a plan or something you're hoping to accomplish, I feel like there really wasn't a use for it. Because I also don't feel like he even was trying to use it to like get in Cliff's good graces or anything. I feel like he was kind of just like, okay, I'm just going to use it. So
yeah,
I'm not super keen on his... I don't feel super confident in his strategic mind, but I do think he's in a fine position right now. And I feel like he's not like, I mean, like Bill says in the chat, it's like, he says, I'm just not sure what he's doing and we need more information. And I feel like that's where I am at right now, where I feel like I haven't really even been focusing on him this week just because there's been so many other large characters, and that could be a good thing. And that could be a bad thing. I mean, it could be great because, you know, maybe he's just laying low. Even though he won the veto, he's still able to kind of stay under the radar where all these other people are way out there. Or it could be bad because, you know, he could just not be good. And we could find out next week that he's just super bad at the game. So I think I'm just right in the middle with him, and I'm going to give him a 5.
Oh, I didn't like Sam's game at all. I gave him a 3. Look, using the veto was totally nonsensical to me. It was like, why are you doing this? What you accomplished with using the veto is eliminating somebody who could probably be far more beneficial to you than Kat ever could. I also feel like there are all these alliances in the house, and he's a part of a couple of the like sort of real final five alliances. He's included in a couple, and he is in the Wactivity competition that's coming up this week. However, he's not really close to anybody besides Nick, and Nick really more has Bella. So he doesn't have a lot of people protecting him. I could easily see Sam going up as a nominee during week two as a replacement nominee or as a pawn. And with his backstory about having a wife and two kids, I feel like he could go home. So yeah. I don't feel great. It's a 3.
Yeah. Sam's position is all right. He's not being targeted. Nobody wants to target him until all of the other people who aren't in Grateful are gone. He's the last one to go, according to, you know, Grateful. And I really doubt it's going to come to that. So he should be pretty safe for a while. And his position is largely going to make up the rating that I give him. In terms of my confidence in his ability as a player, I don't love it. He is good socially. People like him. They're not threatened by him. They feel buddy buddy with him, and his relationship with Nick I do think is very good for him. I think Nick is always going to go before Sam, and Nick, you know, brings a lot of connections and influence to Sam, but his decision making is not the best. We talked about this on the update this morning. I talked about it the day before as well. I don't like his decision to put Ovi in the line of fire when Kat was there. You know, Kat was a great person for Nick and Sam to have go home. I don't love winning the veto in the first place, especially because he was competing against Jack in an athletic competition and he beat him. That's really going to create a persona of being good at competitions that he does not want to have. So I don't love that. I ultimately went with a 4 for Sam here. That, you know, he really, his position wise, he's more of a 5 or a 6, but he really just drops based on my confidence in his decision making here. The audience went with a 5 for Sam. So the audience agrees with Melissa on that one. As they do.
Yeah, as always. we didn't agree on all of them for this. Yeah,
I feel like the statistics pan out that the audience tends to agree most with Melissa.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but I feel like that only follows, though, because I do feel like in terms of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears that I'm a little too hot, you're a little too cold, and she's just right. So, yeah.
Well, apparently I'm pretty hot this week.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah,
a little bit higher than most people. Yeah, so,
yeah, I could be the cold, icy bitch, and you could be the hot one. But that makes more sense. Yeah.
Well, sometimes it is the other way around. So, yes. All right. Let's talk about Nick. We'll start with I forgot who I started with last time. Let's start with Brent this time. We'll talk about Nick, who, as we talked about, close with Bella, close with Sam. He's in Grateful. He is a very active player, talks a lot, and he really wants to take a big shot soon. He wants to either throw the HOH to Kemi, have her go after Jack, or even potentially go after Jack himself. This guy is burning real hot right now, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, Brent. What do you think?
It's a bad thing. I don't like it. I have written the score and a word for Nick. I gave him a score of 3 and I wrote messy. He is so messy. The only other person in the house who is messier is Christy, and she's playing terrible right now. I don't understand Nick. And by the way, I'm sort of annoyed with him just in general, because as I said on Twitter, I feel like we were totally sold a bill of goods. He said he was going to go in there and call people out when they say racist shit or racially insensitive things. And he's done nothing of the sort. He's done nothing. He has just stood there and laughed while other people were made fun of. So I'm not here for him. But objectively speaking, I think you really have to call into question his game skills. This is not real life. You have to keep things closer to your vest than you apparently are able to do on Big Brother. And he's not able to do that. For some reason, he wants to target Jack, who I feel like he should. I don't know, is he jealous of him? Like, why do you want that guy out of the house? I mean, I know that Jack has you, Nick, on your list, but it's on down the line. And I'm not even totally sure that Nick's aware of Jack's overall feelings for him. I'm not even sure where this Jack emphasis came from necessarily, other than the fact that you're just jealous of him. And that's not a way to play Big Brother. So, yeah, it's a 3. And I don't feel good. I feel like he's so hot. There's no way somebody like this can survive. I mean, Big Brother is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And he's playing it like a sprint right now.
All right, Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with what Brent's saying. I'm going to give him a 4 because I do think I think that there is a chance that he could, you know, pull something off and pull it together. I don't think he's a dumb guy, but he is playing very messy right now. And I think that I think it might come back to bite him. So that's what I'm giving him a 4.
Okay. I can tell you the audience gave him a 5. Mm-hmm. So the audience a little bit higher than the two of you. It went Brent 3, Melissa 4, audience 5, which of course means that I'm going to give him a 6. I am.
You're nice, everyone. I'm very surprised. What's gotten into you?
I don't know. I feel like he gets a 6. You know, a lot of these could go down and a lot of these could go up. But I do feel like Nick is somebody that, I mean, he is one of the big players in the house right now. And he's not being targeted. He has been excluded from the 6 shooters, but that's not real. And in particular, the thing I like the most about him is his connection to Tommy. Tommy has been going around all week long making sure that Nick is okay. He has given Nick heads up when things are not looking good for Nick. And when things got really bad for Nick, Tommy was able to give him a heads up and Nick was able to fix it. And now he's okay again. The biggest thing I don't like about Nick is what you talked about, Brent, taking a shot at Jack this early, really wanting to win the HOH. That I don't like. But he's also like really talking up, like maybe I'll just throw it to somebody else, have them do the dirty work, which is certainly much better.
Much better, yeah.
So if that happens, I do feel like that could be good. And Nick does have, you know, he's got Sam, he's got Bella, he's got Tommy, he's got, to an extent, especially with Tommy comes Christy. He has a lot of people who are willing to work with him. I do feel like he might be propped up as a figurehead and that might not be good, but just watching him in the house, he's one of the few players that's like actively working and strategizing and gaming in the house. And he's doing okay at it right now. Like I said, he's burning hot, and that's, it comes with good and it comes with bad. And so right now I'm choosing to be a little bit optimistic because I do think there are a lot of people that aren't burning at all. But you know, we'll see where this goes. So Nick is going to even out here at a 5 overall. And we're going to move on to Bella. Let's talk about Bella. Melissa, how do you feel about Bella?
I love her so far. I'm very interested in her game. But I am a little concerned because I don't know what information she's going to reveal and what, I mean, I can't tell if she's playing like, you know, the floater game where she's, you know, going from group to group, or if she's going to try and actually stick to one, but then also talk bad about them or tell people their secrets. Like, I can't tell. I feel like she needs to pick one and stick with it, because then I'm all in because she's really fun and great to watch. But I'm a little concerned because so far it does seem like she's kind of like vacillating between those two options. But I do think that the fact that her main alliance was already starting to be suspicious of her, or like, you know, kind of excluding her from things, that makes me a little nervous for her. But so far, I'm going to give her a 5 because I do see good things for her.
All right. I'll go next and I'll get this one out of the way as well. I also gave Bella a 6. I was more prepared to go even higher earlier in the week, but it became clear that that she was not as on top of things as Nick was, but she also doesn't burn as hot as Nick does. And what I really like from Bella came very late last night when we learned about the Black Widows, that she does have the connection to the women, which means she, along with Tommy, is one of the most well-connected people in the house from that 8. Even though that 8 is not super hot on Bella, she has a lot of other options, and Tommy does still love Bella. Tommy wants to work with her, and again, with Tommy can come Christy, and there are some other people that aren't as sold on the 6 shooters as the rest of them. So I'm not nearly as low on Bella as you might think, given how much the grateful people have talked about her. And I do think that, you know, she's managed to hide the fact that she totally screwed over Kemi. She has these women, you know, working for her. Kemi said, Bella's the person I trust the most. Tommy continues to talk. I love Bella. I want to work with her. Nick is working with her very closely. Sam is working with her very closely. She's in a pretty good spot. And nobody's really targeting her anytime soon. Even when people started talking about, like, oh, Bella, you know, Kemi's taking the fall for Bella, they briefly mentioned potentially targeting Bella, but that quickly moved on to Nick because Nick is the bigger target between the two of them. So I'm gonna go with a 6 here for Bella. Brent, what do you think?
Well, I gave Holly a 6, so there's no way I'm giving Bella a 6. I could give Bella a 4. I feel like, you know, comparatively, that's probably about where she falls. She does have her name in some of the people's mouths, even though I don't actually believe that they would target her. I never really believed that the, like, let's get Nick and Bella out, or let's use one of them as the replacement nominee, I never really felt like that was going to come to fruition. But the fact that it's being talked about and they're being left out of plans is not a good thing. The fact that they're being left out alliances is even worse. I'm not even sure if they were both on the block together, who would actually go home, because even though Nick is burning hotter, I do feel like that maybe he has better a social game than Bella has. She can come off as a little bitchy to some people and they don't trust her. I remember when Kemi was being talked about as the replacement nominee, even somebody like Holly was saying, you know, isn't Kemi taking the fall for something that Bella is doing, or something that Bella said. So they don't trust her as far as they can throw her. So I feel like it's a 4. And I feel like, generally speaking, that overall tonight, that the chat is really not here for your shiny, happy ratings, Taryn. That's what Bill said.
Oh, is that what the chat is saying, Brent?
I do see that often in the chat.
Well, you know, I see actually a lot of people saying that they are in love with my ratings. All over the place. I'm seeing here. It's like every other person. It's every other person.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So weird. It's looking at a different chat.
Yeah. I mean, look, maybe I'm just looking at the superior chat. I don't know.
We'll never know.
So let's move on to, or sorry, we need to give the audience rating for Bella, which was a 5.
All right.
All right. Let's talk about Kemi. Talk about Kemi. I'll start with Kemi. I love Kemi. I really love Kemi. I really want to see her do well.
Me too.
Unfortunately, she is not in the best position here. Obviously, she was very nearly backdoored this week, barely managed to escape it. And now she is still in a lot of danger. Still, most of the house, if they want HOH, they are going to target Kemi, which is annoying and I think unfair to an extent, and in, especially in Jack's case, cruel. But it is true, and she's not looking super great in that regard. And even in the sense that, like, she is getting some allies, she now has this group of women around her, she is kind of trusting the wrong end of that women spectrum. She is all on board with Bella, who's got other options, and is like not really trusting Nicole, who is like way her better ally. So I don't love that either. I do feel like there is some potential there. If people would just give her a chance, she's very personable. Like, yeah, she's quiet in group settings, but like, most people are if they are in a position where they are outcast from group settings. Yeah. And when she is with people that give her the time of day, she's very social and she's very warm and she's great. So I do feel like there's potential here for Kemi, but it's going to be a rocky road for a while. So unfortunately, I've got to go with a 3 for Kemi.
I'm very torn on my rating for Kemi because I feel like it's a situation where there are some things that are taking away from her, some things that are adding to her. And so I'm kind of like waffling between these ratings, but I feel like she is not in a good position right now. And I feel like for her position, I would give her a low rating. However, I do think that she has a good sense of the game. I do think that she's very smart. I think she knows what to do if she gets any sort of power. And I think that, if a situation arises where it's like, okay, how does she get herself out of this? I feel like I could see her getting her way out of it. She even said that she thought she was going to be backdoored, which she was. Like at that point in time when she was thinking, like, I have this feeling, she was going to be backdoored. So I do feel confident in her reads on people. And I mean, you know, obviously, granted, she is trusting potentially the wrong people in that group, you know, but I do feel confident in the ways that she can see kind of what's going on. And I think that she's very intelligent. So I'm going to give her a 5.
All right. Excellent. Brent.
I had written down a 3 and then I scratched it out and wrote 4. And the reason I did that was because she's one of the rare people who was the backdoor target going into a veto competition and managed to get herself out one way or another. Obviously, Nicole had a lot to do with that. Christy had a lot to do with that. Circumstances had a lot to do with it. But also, Kemi had a little bit to do with that. There are many house guests in the history of Big Brother. The history of Big Brother's lined with the corpses of people who thought, you know what, I'm not in trouble. I'm not going to rock the boat. I'm not going to say anything. They're totally in denial. They didn't want to face the fact that they were really in danger. She did, on the other hand, and I'm here for it. That's great. On the other hand, I have to evaluate her within the context of the assholes that she's been cast with. And unfortunately, at this point right now, it's a 4 because I can't go any higher than that game-wise. I'm hopeful that she grows and is able to spread her wings and people start evaluating more for the woman that she is. But as things currently stand, I don't think you can be objective and give her anything other than a 3 or 4 here. So sorry, Melissa.
Yeah, I do wish I could go higher, but unfortunately for me, she is by far the most likely person to be the week 2 evictee. And so
really, yeah.
It's like,
oh, by the way, I just want to say, did y'all see my Periscope? I used the genie bottle and I wished for Kemi to be safe this week. This is when she was really the target and it worked, Taryn.
But Brent, what cost? You didn't get it was a twist wish.
I know, right? Magic has a price.
It's like, so oh, I got what I wanted, but no, now another thing I don't want.
We're probably getting a Jack HOH. I'm sorry, you all.
You should have wished for Kat to be evicted, and then we could have saved both Ovi and Kemi.
That would have been, yes. I'm like, yeah, I know. Yes. That, when I saw that Kemi was going to be saved, and then it was like, oh, Ovi's going to be the replacement, and I'm like, oh, no. But on the other hand, Ovi is like Team Jack at this point, so...
Ovi's team whoever gives him the time of day at this point.
I guess. He doesn't know that he shouldn't be Team Jack. I'll at least say that.
Yes. All right. Well, the audience decided to give Kemi a 4 along with
Good
Brent.
For you guys. I thought you all would be snowed by her overall beauty and magnetic personality, which I love. But you evaluated the game as it currently stands. So good job.
It is ridiculous to me that they're like all like, oh, sis. And none of them are talking about Kemi. Like, what? Where did your eyes go?
So, beautiful. What the hell?
Next up is Jessica. I'm going to talk about
Jessica.
I
mean, everything I just said about Kemi, I feel like I could repeat here with Jessica. Again, she's been cast with a bunch of assholes who aren't taking her seriously at this point. But these are the people that she has to play with. And in that context, I feel like she deserves a 4. I will say this, though. She has some good ideas, but they are ideas that she doesn't need to take to the nth extreme. When you're talking about a women's alliance, as Taryn and I talked about on the update today, you don't have to include all of the women. That's usually why a women's alliance fails. Just include a few women. And the Black Widows, as they currently stand, I'm totally fine with. Bella, at least, is currently staying true to that alliance. She hasn't given up on it yet. She hasn't revealed it to other people. So that is something good. Also, her having a target out there like Jack, I'm sorry, Kemi having a target out there like Jack is good for somebody like Jessica, I feel like, because it gives her somebody that she can look at and talk to and bond with and kind of make fun of in a somewhat positive way over their mutual dislike for somebody like Jack. So I would like her to do great in the game. I am hopeful for her, but it's a 4 and I can't go any higher.
Yeah, this is going to be pretty identical, I guess, because Brent gave Kemi a 4, I gave Kemi a 3, Brent gave Jess a 4, and I'm going to give Jess a 3 as well. I don't love where she's at right now. I love this Black Widows thing. I hope for it to succeed.
Yes.
But if Kemi is the most likely week 2 evictee, I think Jess is probably the second most likely week 2 evictee, especially because everyone is going to know that she is the ringleader, the primary voice in the girl power thing. She's been very vocal about it. Even people who aren't women already know that Jess is the one beating that drum. And so if it gets out that it's getting a little more serious, then Jess, who is already like number 2 on the target list, might just jump Kemi and be number 1 on the target list. We know that Jackson wants to target Jess because Jess is targeting Jackson. And even in that group of women with Kemi there and with Kat there, Jess, remember when I said that anytime Jackson is mentioned, people are like, oh, but he's such a great guy. In that group of women, when they said, oh, but he's such a great guy, Jess said, well, I mean, don't you remember how he betrayed me as camp director? Like, he's not that great a guy. And again, Christy right there, Kat right there. Oh, not good. Jess trusts Kat way too much, and she trusts the women in general way too much. And I do think that this could easily blow up on her in week 2, and she could easily see herself heading out the door. So, unfortunately, I have to give her a 3 here. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah. I'm a little concerned about her game just because, like you guys said, I mean, they already know that she's all about like, oh, the women. And I have a feeling that they're going to, you know, absolutely target her first. If any inkling of, oh, there's a women's alliance comes about. So I think that could be a problem for her. Also, you know, the fact that she keeps trying to involve, all of the women, like, it's not going to end well. Like, that's why these alliances fail. So I don't feel super great about her game. At the same time, you know, I I like her as a player, and I hope that she does well, and I like some of the things that she's saying. So I don't feel so terrible about her game, but I'm going to give her a 4.
All right. The audience also went with a 4 for Jess. So that's going to be 3 4s and a 3.
All right. And
she's going to average out there at a 4. All right. Let's move on to Nicole. Second to last person we're going to talk about here, Nicole. Nicole had an interesting week. So she's been really flying under the radar, doing her best to lie low, not stick her neck out too much. However, she did have an objective this week, which was, I would love for Kemi to stay. I would love it if that were to happen. And she didn't like go out and campaign or anything, but she used any opportunity presented to her advantage. And so she, when Christy was freaking out, she told Christy, hey, do what's best for you. And then of course she ends up being the nail in the coffin for the Kemi backdoor plan when she says, hey, Kemi loves you. You know that, right? And that's what really sells it here. So it's really a good example of somebody who was not necessarily the primary cause of something happening, but knowing when to talk about something and push an agenda and when to hold back. And she really was able to pinpoint those moments, and it was effective in the situations that she was presented with. So she had a pretty good week, but she's still not exactly in power. She's still very much on the outs and, you know, still up there on the target list for the majority of the house. So, Brent, how do you feel about Nicole?
I mean, I guess I see this as a good thing because I gave her a 7. I love how she's playing. Who's coming for Nicole at this point? I mean, I know that there are a few people who have her on their target list, but they have other people who are in front of them. If you're somebody who's going after, you know, the Kemi's, Jessica's of the world, you're going to target them over somebody like Nicole. She's able to have a conversation with anybody and have a relationship with anybody. By the way, this is the person that was taken dead last in our BB draft. I have to say that I was, I'm particularly pretty stunned about her, the maturity of her gameplay at this point. Somebody who, you know, has a coloring book with unicorns farting color or something is not somebody that I really take particularly seriously when it comes to Big Brother, but she's here and she's playing Big Brother. So I give her 7 and I like what she's doing.
Yeah, Brent, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but the chat is not with you on this one. They think that's a little crazy.
Oh, really? Oh, are they? Why? I thought they were with me. Sorry. Nicole. I was making a joke.
They think it was high, but...
Yes, I really love
some
Nicole.
People with you and some people maybe not with you.
Wait, is that how it always is? No way.
Yeah, I feel like that's about normal.
Melissa, how do you feel about Nicole?
No, I mean, I feel the same way. I'm very impressed with her because I think it's mainly because I really thought she was going to have trouble going into the house with the way she was so out there. And I felt like she's very loud, it seemed. And I was kind of just like, this is not going to go well for her. But she's really turned it around. I thought she's done such a great job. I'm very impressed. And I think that the fact that she's able to stay a little low key it serves her very well, this especially in the first week, in the first couple weeks. So if she keeps this up, I think that this could be really good for her. So I'm going to give her a 6.
Yes, I also gave her a 6. I did consider a 7, but I did feel like that was a little too much given her position in the house, especially given my main concern with Nicole is that she doesn't really have any solid allies. She did manage to save Kemi, and Kemi doesn't trust her very much. I mean, she's in an alliance with her, but she trusts Bella more than Nicole. There's not like a super tight bond there. She's talked with people like Ovi. She's talked with people like Bella, but nobody really considers Nicole to be their closest ally. Honestly, Cliff might be the person who feels closest to Nicole, but I haven't heard Nicole reciprocate that really in any way yet. So I'm not sure she recognizes that or is willing to work with Cliff in the same way that he would like to work with her. And so without any really solid allies, it's hard to go above a 6 for me. But I do see promise here, and I would love to see where she ends up as she continues to play this game. The audience is with Melissa and I. They went with a 6 out of 10 for Nicole. All right. So finally, it's time to talk about Boss Hogg. Talk about Cliff.
Let's talk about Cliff.
He gives us updates every morning. He gives us shout outs. Yes, he's been giving us shout outs.
At this point, I'm more happy about the updates than I am the shout outs.
I love the shout out.
Yeah.
he really likes talking about how he understands now why people hang out in the bathroom. He's told that story a few times. Okay. But yeah, Cliff, he's very lovable, both in and outside of the house. Everybody loves Cliff, and for good reason. He was put on the block. He was an easy pawn, but he was taken off the block. He will be surviving until week two, at the very least. And nobody is targeting Cliff. In fact, a lot of people are talking about Cliff is the second to last person that we will evict before the eight. It'll be Cliff, then Sam, then we've made eight. So yep. People feel good about him, and they don't want to take him out. At the same time, like Nicole, he doesn't have really any solid allies, and it's really tough. In fact, Nicole probably has more allies than more solid allies than even Cliff does. And he's not even involved in the Black Vipers or whatever. I don't know. The male version of the Black Widows. And so it's not great. He is involved with a Jackson thing, but it's kind of fake. And he's still in a tough spot. It's still going to be an uphill battle for Cliff. So, Melissa, how do you feel about Cliff's game?
I'm actually very impressed by Cliff. I think that Cliff he has a good read on things that are going on in the house. I mean, first of all, he was on the block and he somehow got removed from the block. So clearly he's doing something right. And I think there is an issue that maybe he's going to have trouble maybe getting actual allies. It doesn't seem like people really want to include him in alliances, which is kind of unfortunate, but maybe if he sticks around long enough, something will happen. I think he's really intelligent in the way that he gives the updates and talks about what's going on in the house. It shows that he knows the game and he doesn't really have a plan and per se, cause he can't really have a plan, but I think that he knows kind of what his role is and how he can move forward.
That's it.
So I think that it's like, he recognizes, I feel like a lot of the times the older person comes into the house and they're like, look, I know I'm the old guy, but I'm not that old guy because I do X, Y, Z. When really it's like, no one cares what you do or what you bring into the house. When you first go in there, they're like, oh, that's the old guy. Let's get him out. So he's kind of playing into that role, but at the same time, knowing that he'll break out of that. I just feel like the fact that in the beginning he was like, I'm going to agree to be the pawn, not really agree to be the pawn, but I'm going to seem like I'm okay with it because so that she'll be comfortable with me. A lot of the times we're like, no, just say no to being the pawn. But he made a good point that it's like, it's so early and you knew already that she wasn't asking you. She was basically telling you at that point that you're going up as the pawn and kind of just hoping that you're going to be cool with it. So, long story short, I'm going to give Cliff
too late.
A six from Melissa. Well, I can tell you that the audience does agree with you, Melissa. The audience also gave Cliff a six. Myself, though, I give him a five.
Really? Oh, wow. Well, I guess I'm off on an island by myself then.
Uh-oh. I feel like he's the definition here of sort of the average position where, he is loved, but he's also not really in any influential spot. I do feel like he's in a position to go pretty far, but something will have to change if he wants to win. And I feel like for now, that's around about a five for me. But Brent, are you way low or way high?
I'm way high on Cliff. I believe in Cliff at this point. I mean, all of the criticism of him, he doesn't have a solid alliance. He doesn't have people who he trusts. I mean, that to me, that's great at this point, because I feel like if he were more of a presence in the house, people would be a little threatened by him. I mean, look, this eight is so unstable that it's going to break up. And when it breaks up, they're going to come running to Cliff. They're going to need somebody solid that they can trust, that they can confide in. Are you really going to spend your HOH that you worked so damn hard for with all of these volatile personalities in the house trying to get out Cliff? Are you kidding me? He is locked in for the finals unless some weird Nikki and Big Brother Canada scenario happens, like at the final five where you have a duo or a trio and through some mechanism of a game, he ends up on next to the somebody on the block that has the votes, you know, the loyalties of other people. But there is no circumstance where he will be evicted of his own accord by these people. It's just not going to happen. So given that, I have to feel like he is in it for the long haul. And it's an 8 for me. And nobody has a bad word to say about him. Even though Christie was made aware of the fact that he had mentioned her name, she still was totally fine with Sam using the veto. And she could have probably put a stop to that if she wanted to. So it's an 8.
I wish I had your confidence, Brent. I do.
All right. We'll see.
So that's going to be it for the ratings here this week. Cliff is going to end at a 6. And there you go. The ratings in their full splendor and glory.
By the way, I do want to say that the morning updaters, Matt Ligori has compiled a list of the 5 updaters who are doing updates or ratings themselves. It's not being included for our purposes, but if you want to check them out, you can follow Matt Ligori at Matt Ligori. It's Matt, Kirsten, Jenny, Puya, and Mary. And I have to say, Taryn, that Puya, who's in the chat currently, must have been eating whatever you wore, because he's the shiny, shiny, warm Puya handing out 6s and 7s left and right to these people. And I don't like,
it's because me and Puya, we know what's up.
I don't understand how you can look at these people and go that they're worth 6s and 7s for the most part, because most of them are playing pretty bad.
You know, Puya disagrees. <Sorry. laughs> And instead of the chat now, I'm just going to be like, well, just so you know, Puya is with me on this one. all right. So that's what we have for you for the ratings. Now, getting to the Stockwatch portion of the show, we did get some feedback over the Big Brother Canada season that the buying, the selling, it can be a little bit hard to follow at times, especially with an audio medium. You know, even sometimes with the visual, it can be a little bit difficult. So we are still going to be playing the Stockwatch game. But we are going to leave like most of the explanation and the all the numbers talk. I'll leave that off the podcast, leave it on the side. If you want to, what I plan on doing is hopefully doing a weekly Twitch stream that I will start tomorrow at around 3 p.m. If you want to find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, where we will go into detail about the new rules for the Stockwatch. I created a very complicated, not that complicated.
Okay, let me tell you, he went hog wild. He went hog wild in honor of Cliff.
I created a new formula for the pricing that will change the game. You've never seen it before.
Yeah, by the way, I also want to note that I won the Stockwatch like 3 consecutive seasons. Finally, Taryn wins it and he says, oh, it's done for the podcast. No more.
No, we will still track. We'll still track how we're doing.
Yes. Yes,
occasionally.
We will.
It's yes. Just the I've been told many times that just like I'll be like, oh, I bought, you know, 5 of this person and 2 of this person. It's like, oh, boy. Yeah. So we're
we will let you know who's winning.
Yes.
And I think the updaters are also going to play.
Playing.
We're so psyched about that. It's going to be on Taryn's Twitch stream. But and I, if you want to check out more information, you can always follow our Twitter, which we'll give you at the end of the show, or we'll make mention of it at the end of the podcast every week, you know, just as a little blurb, like who's winning and who's losing. It'll probably be me losing, but you know, I might win again.
Yes. And so if you want to play along, there, I'm sure will be a group set up in the patron group that you can play along with. If you are a patron of Rob Has a Podcast, you know, I can't say for certain, but the Reddit people might, start something up.
I can say for certain.
If they don't, you can also just do it, directly on Twitter, or you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. As I mentioned, you know, I've got a Discord running. You can chat with me on Twitch itself when we do our streams. Or you can tweet at us, just use the hashtag BBStockwatch and submit your decisions, and we can do that. We can, you know, maybe set up some easier ways as we go along if we can do that. But as I mentioned, we got new rules, a whole new setup. So if you're interested in that, tune in tomorrow on Twitch and we'll go into more detail about how all of that's going to work.
Yeah. By the way, Alexandra, who helps us out with that, is in the chat, and she says she will set up a patron thread later tonight. So look for that if you're a Rob as a Podcast patron.
All right. So that's the Stockwatch information that you need to know. Let's talk finally about just some of these extra questions that we had on the survey. So along with the player ratings, I also ask every week for you to rate the episodes of Big Brother. So let's see, rating the episodes, the audience decided to, out of 10, give the episodes a 5.7. Seems a little low to me, but
yeah.
I mean, I
think it's happening. I think that the shitty personalities on the cast, I think, is bringing it down. I think that's what's happening.
You know, actually, I feel like the Sunday episode was fine. I feel like, yeah, you know, like a 7 maybe. I think that maybe what's happening here is the opening, the premiere where we lost David. That really sucks.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's bringing the average down.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what that was. I also ask you to rate the feeds, because sometimes the feeds are just much better than the episodes. So we're, you know, watching the difference between the two. The feeds got a 6.7 average.
Yep. Feeds have been good.
Yeah. I would have given it like an 8, probably.
Yep. Me too. 7 or 8. Yep.
And then how would you rate the season as a whole so far? A 5.8.
Sounds about right.
I'd go 7 maybe.
I mean, you know, like even bad, like I can see both your points. I think that Melissa's correct in that the audience is right, because it feels like that there's not a lot of good gameplay happening right now. And some of these people are really difficult to like. On the other hand, I agree with Taryn in that bad Big Brother is even that is good Big Brother. You know, I mean, Big Brother at its worst is still Big Brother to me. And he looks like it just goes to show you, like, the 1 week that we need a twist, it's probably not even going to happen right. I am so mad at them. Evil Dick suggested on Twitter that he doesn't understand why Ovi can't use his power. Why can't he use it after the veto ceremony? Why is it? Because the HOH is still naming up to 5 house guests as nominees. Why does he have to wait if he was allowed to use it on the day of the eviction, and the HOH had to name 2 nominees? Like, can you imagine Christie on live television naming 2 nominees? Oh, that'd be fabulous. Oh, I would live for it. But no, they screwed up their own twist, so he's probably going to be evicted. Oh, well.
Yes. Yeah,
I think part of the reason why the season rating is so low so far, or maybe the episode ratings are so low so far, is because, so far the episodes have basically just been a couple competitions that take up most of the episode, and then
a gross one too.
David going home early, and then now Ovi is in trouble. I feel like none of those things are good things. So I feel like I haven't seen anything so far that has gotten me like super pumped up and excited. So I could see why the ratings might not be so high so far.
Yes. All right. So I also ask the audience to rank their players from their favorites, their least favorite player, and so we've got a full list. And who do we think tops this list?
Cliff.
It's Cliff.
Yes,
Cliff's the favorite, followed by Tommy. It's unsurprising.
Yeah,
Cliff, Tommy, and then Bella is in third place, which surprised me a little bit. I know she was a favorite at the start, but people had kind of soured on her, but not too many people. She's in third, and then Nicole there in fourth. And then Kemi is going to be fifth, followed by Ovi. Those are the top players there. Nick is just behind Ovi, but that's about the middle of the pack by then. And then, of course, at the bottom here, do we have any guesses?
Oh, I wonder. Who would it be?
Well, you know what, Jack, you at least made it on the cover of Oprah magazine. So there's that.
Jack is the least favorite by far, followed by Jackson, who is second to least favorite, followed by Catherine, and then Sis and Sam.
Yeah.
Kind of surprised by some of those, but
I can't stand Sam.
Yeah.
Stop yelling at me.
All right. I also asked you, what do you think was Christie's best move this week? Who should she have targeted? And, this is the question I feel is often the most biased in terms. I try to point out, for her game, not what you want to see for her game. Most people said Jack, that about 46% of people said Jack should have been her target. I kind of do disagree with that one.
Because Jack would do anything for her. Mm-hmm. He would not target Christie. That's not a good answer. I feel like she should have gone with her original nominations and got rid of Kat.
Yes, I agree. And Kat was second place with about 30% of the vote. So I agree. I think Kat would have been the best target there for Christy. Only 9% of people said Ovi was the correct decision.
Yeah. Oh, this bite study's going out this soon. Yeah. Number one draft pick, Taryn. Damn it.
I stand with Ovi.
Yeah, I stand with Ovi. As well.
What are your feelings about the camp director twist that sent David out? This is a question I asked. I like to sort of get the general feelings about the various twists, similar to the recent Big Brother Canada 7 twist, where somebody was basically not allowed into the house. Very, very unpopular, the sending David out. A 16 on a scale of 100. It's not. Yeah, people do not right. like that one. They really, it's a scale of hate it to love it. And boy, do they hate it. I also asked about the whack-tacular, whack-tacious, competition. The twist, the signing up, the whole thing. How do you feel about it as a whole? Got about a 47, right in the middle there. People don't love it. They don't hate it.
I feel like out of a lot of twists, I like it more than others. Not that I like any twists at all, but like, you know, I like it more than others because, first of all, they already know that some sort of power is going to come into play with each of these competitions. And also they know who's competing for it. So it kind of narrows the field a little bit. Also, it's something you have to earn yourself. It's not just given to you. And also, you know, America's not voting for this. So I do like the idea that, like, it could be anyone. And also, we don't know what these twists are, and neither do the house guests. So they know something's going on, but it's not just like constant speculation about some like crazy power, like that they don't even know if there is a power or not, which I hate. Whereas this is like, okay, we know that these five people, or whatever the actual amount is, these five people are going to be competing for this competition where they will earn a power. So someone's got something, we don't know what it is. And I feel like there's a little more, it's a little more solid than just like, oh, it could be anything. There's like something going on.
It is better than the power apps, where it was right. like audience voting, which sucks. Yeah. And it is an interesting sort of twist on things to have the signups and to know that certain people are competing in certain weeks. Does add a little bit of an element of extra strategy. So I do think it's better, but overall I'm kind of with the audience on this one. It doesn't quite break halfway through here. It's not getting me super excited about anything.
Not super excited at all. Also, whoever designed the competition for the Wactivity thing is probably the same person who designed the backyard camper thing for Big Brother 8. Was it 18? Yeah. The roadkill one. Oh, like Uncle Trailer. Austin's. Oh my God. Like, what? Do they love shit like this? Like, unintended? Like, what is up with that?
Yeah. They loved the segment during Big Brother Celebrity 2, where Kato Kaelin was really helping people out with things. We know it's Melissa's favorite segment.
Oh,
and
you're right.
They were like, you know what? It's a fan favorite. Love Melissa that. Loved it.
Hurdy.
Stop.
And then finally, I asked about the nightmare power in particular. So the power that Ovi won, how did you feel about that one? And I have to say, this, I think, is the highest rated twist, which is not saying much, at about 57 out of 100 that I've seen since we started rating the twists. So just past the halfway mark that people were like, maybe I could have been excited about that.
Yeah.
So that's generally how people feel, not surprising when you get to 50% out of 100 and that's like, oh, that's pretty good. Then, you know, you haven't had the best twists in the world. Finally, who do you want to see evicted this week?
Kat.
Yeah. 80% said Kat. Yeah. It was still 19% that said Ovi. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Cass?
I don't know. Well, Kat is, I really don't want either one of these people evicted. I think that Kat is hilariously bad at the game and is giving me all sorts of kooky fun. I know that you weren't necessarily here for her saying that she wants to quit the game, but I think that's just her whining. I don't think she would quit the game. I feel like she's just feeling bad about herself. She needs a little pick me up, Taryn.
I know she's not. I would almost rather she quit the game. Like, I don't want to have to hear about it. I hope it doesn't happen again.
I know. By the way, Melissa, the chat noticed your purple glow. Apparently, now that it's gotten, because you're in California, it was light when the podcast started. Now it's dark. And there must be some purple light in front of you because it's.
Yeah, that's my mic.
Oh, it's so cool. I love it. I have a little piece.
I'm just magical.
I have a piece of tape covering mine, so I'm like, otherwise
maybe you shouldn't have. Maybe you should let the light flow.
I know, the blue light. Is that? I think Kaylin would. She could tell what kind of energy I have, right? What color energy? Yellow. I need to talk with her. I think that was for you. She never did.
Oh, yeah, maybe I was yellow.
Yeah,
but I think Rob and myself are both yellow.
Yeah, when Kaylin comes on Thursday in a couple weeks from now, I can ask her.
Yeah, can't wait for Kaylin.
Me too.
All right. That's, I believe, all we have for you. It's a long one here. The early podcasts in the season are often going to be a little bit longer. There's so much to talk about, so many people to rate and talk about. So a bit of a long one for you. I hope you enjoy all of it. We did take some stuff out and it's still pretty long. So that's what we have for you. Let me know if you have an idea for a hashtag in the chat. And Melissa, Brent, let me know if there is anything else that you would like to bring up or have final thoughts for.
I think we covered everything I was hoping to talk about. I had a lot of thoughts going into this podcast, and I basically ranted about all of them in the beginning. So
the thoughts have been expressed.
They've been expressed for the most part. Yeah.
All right. I'm seeing House of Hog 2019. I like that one. Hashtag Summer of Swine.
Summer of Swine.
Hashtag Reverse Backdoor, which is what Kat thinks is happening to her.
The reverse backdoor.
Jack is whack.
By the way, did you see Kat spill the pitcher of iced tea earlier today? Like, dude, like, she's such a dumbass, man. Like, I could tell that was gonna spill from the moment she started. She, like, it has, like a half a pitcher of tea in it, and it has a lid on it, and she's, like, basically tips the whole thing over and expects the lid to hold. Like, what are you doing? Oh, God.
Why did that happen? Lids are supposed to cover things.
I just, like, did you get dropped on your head? Or little? What is up with you?
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
It was funny. It was funny.
It really was.
I do enjoy Kat. As long as she's not talking about quitting, she has some moments.
Yeah.
I'm seeing hashtag not my Aquaman.
Sam, I forgot.
I like it. Oh my
Sam,
God.
Sam reminds me. Apparently, she has a pilot's license.
Yes, she does. She does. She talked about it.
Yeah, right? Oh God. Oh, I can't.
All right.
I like not my hashtag not my Aquaman.
Yes,
not
I like that Aquaman. One as well. Hopefully, we'll get a House of Hog in there at some point when Cliff has a great week.
Cliff has an HOH or Vito win. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So that's what we have for you. Of course, again, make sure you check out my Twitch channel tomorrow. I will be going over the new Stockwatch, the rules, and all of the details about what's going to go on with that. Should be fun. I hope so. Hopefully it'll be interesting. So check that out. twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. You can also find me on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn if you want to fill out any of the forms that we have for the roundtable every week. I tweet those out as well as every time that I go live, and also like random thoughts and such that I have. I recently had a friend of mine go, you know, I love seeing your tweets. I have no idea what they're about, but they seem fun. I was like, that's a great compliment.
I feel like that's what most of my friends think when they see my Twitter. They're like, I have no idea what's going on here, but okay.
So find me there. You can find Melissa if you want to see her fun tweets. It's Melissa with 3 A's. And then Brent is @1. Lucky Gay.
And he is.
There you go. So for Brent and Melissa, I'm Taryn Armstrong. Hashtag not my Aquaman. We'll see you next time with Rockstar and Brent tomorrow night.
You got it. See you then.